Hello, welcome to Same Old Hope, a Star Wars podcast where we count down to episode 9 by celebrating one theatrical release each month. Today we're 10 months out from the still untitled episode 9, and this month we're celebrating Star Wars episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I am Jared, and with me are...
Tim, aka Chancellor Palpatine.
That was good.
I'm Kat, aka Kat Fisto.
Ooh, I nice. Like that. That was great. I'm Chinmo, aka Qui-Gon Chin, aka Mace Chindu.
We got two.
Man.
Wow. I'm DJ O Solo Han.
Ooh.
I like that one. Hell yeah.
And I'm Dexter Jaredster. I didn't have any prepared for that.
Made up on the spot.
Yeah, there it is.
Can you
on the spot.
It?
Okay, so it is Saturday night. We are drinking blue milk white Russians.
Mine's just blue milk.
And one just blue milk.
It's the bluest, though.
It is the bluest.
It's the bluest of them all. Yeah, the Kahlua is tough to turn blue.
Ours is the Kahluist.
Yeah, we have Kahlua milk. Yeah. There's a lot I feel like I want to address. I listened back to episode 1 and episode 0, and I wanted to start by saying thank you to everyone who's been listening and writing in and being positive. There's been a lot of positive feedback to this, like people listening and sharing our episode, which is really cool. So I want to start with a thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you guys listen to the episode 0 and 1? Have you guys listened back?
Yeah, I did.
I feel like there were a few things listening to that I was like, oh, I got to remember to add this next time or say this. I think it was, I don't know if it was our episode 0 or episode 1 when we had some like, we should be clear, we hate Donald Trump or something like that early on.
I think that was 0.
Maybe that was 0. Yeah. We were saying that. Which killed me that we didn't bring up at the time that Star Wars is political. I think that's something we should address. Like, I feel like people are often like, don't politicize Star Wars. But I think Star Wars has always been political.
Yeah, especially Attack of Clones.
If you say it's not, look at any of the prequels.
Yeah.
Well, I think the original trilogy was very much George Lucas's response to like Vietnam, and the prequels were very much a response to like the George Bush era. And I think the modern Disney movies are like, I mean, there's elements there. Like, I remember going to see Rogue One after the 2016 election, and it's hitting really close to home a lot of the themes in that. Like, a lot of the writers and producers in Star Wars changed their Twitter logos to like the Rebel Alliance logo with that safety pin through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's almost ignorant to pretend that it's not political. Like, I'm all for keeping things positive in the Star Wars community, and I don't know, not thinking you're better than anyone. But
I mean, Episode 2, like, granted, it's very old politics, but it's basically like how the Romans ran things.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was very much a response to the Bush era. And...
Yeah.
Well, weren't we saying last time that Valorum is supposed to be Bill
Clinton? Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, and there are taxation of trade routes as political as
right.
God, that movie is action packed.
Yeah.
So we watched episode 2 today, actually. So we sat down as a family and watched Attack of the Clones this afternoon. We have a lot to say about it. We're going to talk about it today.
I'll start by saying that I take back what I said in the first episode or episode 0 about it being the worst one. This, I think, was better than The Phantom Menace.
I agree. I hadn't seen this, but I was expecting to hate it and for it to be really, like, laughably bad. And there definitely are some really weak moments in it, but I had a good time watching it, and I did like it better than Phantom Menace.
Yeah, me too. I feel like at some point, the movie is like slowly segueing into the Clone Wars TV show.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Everything is animated.
Yeah,
and it like
the CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if it just was 100% a CGI movie, like just all animation, I think it would have been even better. But towards the end, like I think even Yoda himself just gets more and more animated.
Yeah, it like, feels like that.
Like they forgot the final draft skin in like the third act of the movie.
I think about that all the time watching
He's
the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah,
the entire movie. I always think about it watching those when I watch the Clone Wars TV show. How much I want to see them just remake the prequels with the Clone Wars cast.
I'd be all for it.
I mean, I love the prequels as is. Like I'm honestly, this was my least, my lowest ranked live action Star Wars movie.
Same.
And I love this movie.
Yeah.
I have so much love for it. I think there's so many
there's
great
very little
things about it.
I consider this one, Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace, like basically on par with each other. I ranked Phantom Menace a little bit higher just because of Darth Maul is what really puts it over for me.
I think that's a that same for me. Like, I'm curious for you guys, what made you like this more than Phantom Menace?
Jango Fett in this one is also up there for me because I love Jango and Boba Fett.
I mean, I remember that being really exciting going to see this with Jango. Like, I love Jango in this movie. But I think ultimately seeing where Boba comes from and seeing Jango just makes Boba Fett less interesting.
I beg to differ. Boba Fett is arguably my favorite character in Star Wars. And, like, when I first found him, like, oh, he's just kind of like a clone. Like, that's kind of weird and, like, kind of thrown off. But
I have no problem with the specifics of his backstory. I just think when you knew nothing about him, it was more intriguing.
The mystery behind it.
It's kind of like the C-3PO being built by Anakin thing, where it's like just an origin that's like doesn't really add anything.
I get that.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Anton Chigurh thing. Like, the less you know about him, the like creepier he is.
Right.
Like, you're just like, oh, his only motivation is to track down his target and take them out. But now you're like seeing him as a little boy and like, oh, now it's kind of like a vengeance thing. That's the only life he's ever known. It does put a weird filter on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, not everything has to be connected in some way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, with the new movies, everyone was like, yeah, Rey's like a Kenobi or she's, you know, a Skywalker or whatever.
Which could still be the case.
It could, but like, people were bummed that her parents were nobody, and I think that would have been cool if it stays like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I've heard people talk about kids who are adopted and how much that story's meant to them personally, which I think is really cool. But also Rian Johnson, he's talked about this is like the best way to challenge Rey is like, you know, for her to face the fact that she's nobody. Maybe it doesn't matter who her family is.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't know, I agree with that. I think that is the most powerful story for her.
But back to you guys for a second. Deej and Kat, what was it that sets this one apart for you guys from episode one?
Hayden Christensen aside, I think the acting is a lot better in this movie. So it was more enjoyable to watch from a story standpoint. And aside from the romance novel that's interwoven into the plot, the political aspects of the main plot with Obi-Wan I just thought were generally more interesting, and it's never really clicked with me until this movie, but it's almost Jedis or cops. Like, this was kind of like a buddy cop movie in a way. Like, Anakin is the young rookie that it just wants to play by his own rules, and he thinks he knows better than the well-seasoned cop who's been around the block and like knows that, you know, it might be appealing to be rebellious, but sometimes you got to live by the badge. That kind of clicked for me. And
but
this
Mace Windu's like, I want your badges and lightsabers on my desk right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's a hard-ass lieutenant.
Yeah, so seeing them split up was kind of interesting to see how, because that shows you both aspects of how the Jedi run and how there's a little bit of Qui-Gon that kind of rubbed off on Anakin, where he's like, you know, Jedis are supposed to live this way, but we're also human. Like, I can experience these other things and still be a Jedi. And Obi-Wan being like, no, we have a mission. We have to follow orders. Like, it was a more appealing structure for me, story-wise. And I liked kind of the clone aspect. A lot of the creature design I thought was a lot better. The CGI was still kind of a mixed bag, but it just felt like a better story was being told, and it was executed a little better for me. Anyway.
Oh, good points.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I love the whole Obi-Wan Kenobi solving a mystery plot of this. It's so fun.
I love like the tracking down, like the whole Sifo Dyas, like, oh, he's been dead. Like, who could have done that?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've always been a fan of mystery movies and like novels and stuff in the first place, but it adds that extra element. Like, who done it?
Yeah, like, they were working a case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The buddy cop aspect is so true too, and it just reminds me of how flawed the Phantom Menace is when they, like, you never really think about how Qui-Gon is 2 weeks away from retirement.
<You're right. Yeah. laughs> The cruelest fate.
But
did you say the cruel of the fates?
No, I should have. I said the cruelest fate.
I think aside from the lightsaber battle and the pod racing scene in The Phantom Menace, everything is just more fun to watch in Attack of the Clones, which is so crazy to me that I'm saying this now, because for years I have thought that, like, Attack of the Clones is borderline a cartoon because it's just 95% CGI. Yeah. But, like, visually, all the planets look way cooler than they did in the first one. I think Geonosis looks badass because it looks like old Disney illustration. It doesn't even look like CGI. It looks like it's animated.
Yeah, yeah, there are parts that feel like a matte painting.
Yeah, I said there are. Well, a lot of those sets are like practical. Like they actually made those backdrops and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it because I felt like this movie, a lot of the sets felt like green screen.
Like all the
more
arena
than episode
and
one.
Stuff like that.
At the very
is.
End, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I remember from this movie is like how like cartoonish it was. But like when Obi-Wan is on Geonosis and it's like dark out. And like the rock wall behind him just has like this cool look to it where it kind of reminds me of 101 Dalmatians. Like it's like this really like old school looking animation.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like how else to describe it, but it is like,
it's like textured. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. But Hayden Christensen is fucking awful.
Yeah, he's so bad.
I could spend the whole episode talking about how fucking bad he is. I am almost convinced that George Lucas just invented Hayden Christensen, and he is just
he's made
of Mandalorians.
Yeah,
he's as real as Jar Jar Binks. Yeah.
But I mean, like he's mostly known for this, and he's barely in anything else. It's like they created a robot for these movies.
Hey, he did Jumper.
He's a cardboard.
I haven't seen
cutout.
Jumper.
Yeah.
I saw Life as a Host. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I saw that.
I like that.
Jumper's
one.
Pretty. Jumper's all right.
I haven't
and
seen
Sam
Jumper.
Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, and not only is his acting is just really bad in this, but we were talking about this a little bit before the show that he feels so wrong for Darth Vader. Like, he's so kind of, like, whiny, and we're not saying anything nobody's ever said before, but,
right,
like,
right.
He's not what you would expect for a younger Darth Vader. Darth Vader is much more like assertive and
yeah, he's not a creepy serial killer.
Yeah, I do think that the Clone Wars TV show got the character of Anakin.
Yeah.
That's why I can't wait for like
a lot
next
more
month to talk about that, like how it redeemed the character.
It's a lot closer.
How many seasons are
six.
There?
Six.
I should fucking watch that.
It does
They're
rule.
Really
it's a show.
Yeah, even if we hung out some night and watched some of the best episodes, it'd be a blast.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
They got the character of Anakin perfectly. Like he's super strong in the Force, arrogant, but like has fun with everything, and it's really cool what they do with him. I do feel like a lot of it is down to like writing and probably directing as well with him. Like
I was gonna say, I don't blame it all on him. Like Lucas had a shitload to do with it.
I'm one of the like I really want to see him in Episode 9 as a Force ghost. I really want Anakin, like Hayden Christensen, to come back as Anakin.
I'm with you. I don't hate him as much as everybody else does. Like yeah, there are definitely parts on like. I would not have made that choice with that scene or anything like that. But
yeah.
Overall, I'm okay with a lot of it. There are definitely like the scenes. I'm like, no, fuck, we don't have to watch this here.
I think it's just, he's just really creepy to Padme a lot in this movie.
Yeah, he definitely makes like creepy eyes at her a lot where he's just like looking down. He's like, I'm picturing
the face. I put that on Lucas though more than I put that
on him. What's so off-putting about all of those love scenes is it feels so much like fan fiction because of how creepy he is and how receptive she is to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like only in a gross man's fantasy would a man treat a woman that way. And she'd be like, I love you. Let's get married.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. This was taken straight out of a smut novel. Like this is Nabooty Call. This is what that is.
Nabooty Call.
That's how you guys met though, isn't it?
Tall Darth and handsome.
Yeah.
Tall Darth. Nice.
like those scenes, and it's almost jarring the difference in the writing of the dialogue from the scenes where it's Anakin and Padme like just in Naboo and then anything else that's happening in the movie. Like it seems like he was like, hey, this high school girl that has a crush on Hayden Christensen, can you write this part of the movie?
Right.
That's what it's very jarring. But this has stuck with me for at least 4 years now. When we were going to see Episode 7 at midnight, people were like speculating things that were going to happen. And the guy sitting in front of me, this is really vulgar, but I thought it was hilarious and it stuck with me. He was like, if I see Hayden Christensen, I'm going to scream until blood shoots out of my dick. So
oh
I'm just
God.
Imagining that guy seeing Hayden Christensen as a Force ghost. Yeah.
How long does that take when you're screaming? Like straight?
I don't know.
A couple weeks straight?
Like, I...
It's 3 hours and 23 minutes. Just, exactly. Just want to throw that up there.
The runtime of, like, Return of the King or something.
It's not entirely his fault. I don't think he was given the best material, but nobody hates Natalie Portman, and she was given the same material, so I think there is something.
She doesn't have as many, like, creepy lines as he does,
true.
Though.
True.
Does she have any creepy lines?
No.
No, she doesn't.
Sure, yeah. She's not a creep.
No. This movie for me, like, I remember seeing it in theaters and being really excited about it. I saw it a couple times. I think I saw it twice in theaters. But this movie really hit home for me when this is the first Star Wars movie I had on DVD. It was like that era. Mm-hmm. So this came out in 2002. I think I got it for like Christmas that year. And it was like a time in life when I was spending a ton of time in my bedroom, like I was a teenager. And we just watched this movie over and over again. Watching Star Wars Episode 2 and playing Bounty Hunter.
Mm, okay.
Sure. GameCube. Is that what the kids are calling it?
Yeah. Playing Bounty Hunter.
With his lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I watched this movie on, like, loop. I would just watch it over and over again. And there was...
Watch it on loop, huh?
Yeah, I watched it on loop.
Stretch.
Yeah, what is that? Projecting it on Luke. Yeah, over and over again. And there were, like, silly CG things I would laugh at throughout the movie. But there was so much that I loved about it. And that Bounty Hunter video game was so awesome.
It's one of my all-time favorite video games.
It's really great.
I wish we were recording a commentary for this particular movie.
Just like watching it, like, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah,
you know what?
Maybe we should do that from here on out.
Yeah, if people want to, like, us like have a commentary of these episodes, let us know. We'll record a separate commentary.
Yeah, it really sounds like a bonus.
Yeah, be pretty fun.
Oh, sorry, go for it, Tim.
I was just gonna say, back to the kind of this versus episode one. I don't think the lightsaber fights in this are as cool as in episode one.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
None of them really. I mean, well, you only, one, but it doesn't do it for me that much.
Yeah, you only get the one in episode one, the main one, Duel of Fates. But in this one, other than, like, it's kind of like just a giant arena battle, and then you do only get the Dooku versus Anakin and Obi-Wan, and then Yoda, which we'll talk about a little bit because I absolutely love that part. But
can I tell a quick story about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I saw this movie, I mean,
is this the story that you were referencing earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was, you know, a huge Star Wars fanboy, as I talked about on a previous episode, and I was dying to see this movie. I couldn't wait, and me and my best friend growing up, Darren, were so psyched to see this movie, like, opening day. It was, like, a Saturday, and my sister and all her friends were at the mall with us, and they were just gonna, like, hang out and do their own thing, and then they heard we were going to this movie, and they're like, let us go to the movie with you, and we didn't want them to come. And it was like one of those things where we were like, oh, all right, fine. Like, you can come with us. And they laughed throughout the entire movie. And I was mad about
that's
it.
That's awful.
And, like, turned around. And especially at the part where Yoda started lightsaber fighting, they were cackling. They were, like, laughing so hard. And me and Darren were just, like, huffing and puffing, like, turning around.
Shut up. Respect him. He's a master.
I'll always think of that when I think of the Yoda fight scene.
You just hear teenage girls laughing when you watch it.
That sucks.
That does suck.
That does blow, yeah.
So do you guys want to dive into this movie and kind of go through it like we did with episode one?
Yeah.
Do it. You're going to do this from memory again?
I'm going to do my best, yeah.
Dude,
we can talk.
I can't believe how impressive that is.
I've watched these a lot.
Yeah, I can tell.
We can talk.
Did
we
you
can
not
talk
hear about his childhood?
Yeah.
He was locked in his bedroom.
20 years.
He was locked in his bedroom.
Watched it on loop. Although, to be honest, episode two is the one that I'm less confident about. Going beat for beat.
But. Yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't picked up on it yet, Jared is recalling these movies from memory. Like, he doesn't have any notes or, like, liners at all.
I'm just doing every sound effect and, like the one man Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we try to do it like each person says a part of it and then the next person has to say the next
like
part
telephone?
Of the story and see how much of it we can remember?
Okay, we're going to try that.
I hope we can do that. We watched it like 4 hours ago.
So I can start out and where am I passing off?
Wherever you want to.
Yeah, okay. I want you to read the crawl verbatim, and then we'll
I
pass
definitely
off.
Can't. The closest I could do that too is New Hope, but I can't do that. All right. So I right away, speaking of the crawl, I feel like this is a step up from Phantom Menace. The crawl is less boring.
100%.
Yeah.
Like reading this crawl, it's like, okay, like, I don't know, they set up a decent story that they're talking about. Padme, who's no longer queen of Naboo, is now senator for Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
And flying back to Coruscant.
Did she get demoted?
Yeah, I have a question about that. Like, how
no,
is she just
No, they
not
mention
queen?
It in dialogue. So she was the youngest queen ever, and the people loved her and tried to change the legislation so she could, like, serve longer.
Yeah.
But they have, like, you can only do, like, two terms or
something.
And
she said no, and then the queen now offered her the role of senator, and she said she couldn't say no.
I definitely missed that.
It's when R2 was climbing all those stairs.
I'm used to real life monarchies, and I was like, isn't she the queen till she's dead?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine being a two-term queen.
Yeah.
By the time you're like 15.
Yeah. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, crazy. So she's going back to Coruscant, to the Senate, where more systems are looking to break away. But there's like a separatist movement happening in the Senate. And what else does the crawl explain to us? I don't know.
It's like they're talking about the vote on whether or not to create like an army.
Authorize an army.
Yeah.
Oh, right. An army of the Republic. Okay. And then we get the Naboo starfighters back with a new like silver ship from Naboo.
With the pan up too.
Super cool.
Different.
Oh yeah. The camera pans up instead of down.
I love her ship. The
so shiny.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But just the amount of like detail thought that has to go into the design of that, because it is a mirrored ship basically.
Yeah.
They have to make sure that they are correctly mirroring what it's flying over, what it's flying underneath, making sure that like the display of the image as it would be kind of warped on a mirrored ship like that looks correct.
Yeah.
So it's a design element that's so small, but I really appreciate it.
So Palpatine is from Naboo as well. He was a senator from Naboo in episode 1. And in canon, Captain Phasma's armor is made from Palpatine's personal yacht. So like that chrome, like silver stuff.
A really weird thing to hear.
Yeah, it's really, I know. It's surprising.
What's so strong though?
Yeah. So I love that opening scene. So she lands on like a landing bay on Coruscant, and right away like the ship blows up with one of her body doubles.
Yeah. The guy is like, "Wow, nothing dangerous happened." And then
yeah,
I was worried for nothing.
Yeah. See, we're all fine. And it blows up.
Yeah.
Corday
goes down.
Yeah, her body doubled. Now Corday gets killed in the explosion. Captain Typho, is that his name?
Yep.
Super cool, like the metal eye patch.
Yeah.
He was like, I haven't had a feeling this good since right before I lost my first eye.
Yeah, and it blows up. It's 2-for-2, or 0-for-2 now. That whole scene looks really cool. I like seeing Coruscant, like, foggy early morning feeling. Like, visually, I feel like it's a very cool looking opening scene.
Yeah, because you can't see much of the city because of the fog, just like the tips of the building.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
I feel like a lot of Star Wars movies, like, the first scene you're being introduced to a new planet that you haven't seen before. And this is obviously one we have seen, but it's a different look at it because of the fog. I never thought about that.
That's interesting. Let's go right back when we've been. But yeah, it's very visually interesting. And then we go to Palpatine's office with like a bunch of Jedi in there, and they're talking about I don't even know where we're at now. What's happening in that scene?
They're talking about the separatists and the attempt on Padme's life.
Right, okay. And trying to get a Jedi to watch over her and like maybe someone she knows.
Yeah.
I'm really distracted in that scene because I'm just looking at all the Jedi in the back who are like...
Kit Fisto, Barriss Offee.
Is Kit Fisto in that scene?
He is.
I don't remember that.
First time you see him.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and Barriss Offee and all these people that have like a lot of story in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Like, hey, look.
That is one of my favorite things about this movie because you get like a lot of cool Jedi in episode 1, but here you see most, if not all of them, in action in some form, especially towards the end. And then they just really, really expand on that more in the Clone Wars show.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm a huge... Kit Fisto is one of my all-time favorite Star Wars characters. And it's just cool, like, seeing, like, oh, that's a cool-looking background character. Let's add a lot of cool story to him, which they've been doing Star Wars since the beginning, but...
Yeah, he's cool.
It's cool to do it with Jedi now.
Yeah, if you don't know Kit Fisto, he's, like, the green fish-looking dude with, like, kind of, like, green dreadlocks and...
Originally going to be a Sith.
He has like a, well, his design was designed for Sith, right?
Sith Fisto.
And he has that like look at the camera and smile moment towards the end of this movie, which is great.
Oh, yeah, with the 3PO. Well, yeah, we'll get there.
Where was I going from here? Oh, so then we get to Obi-Wan and Anakin in the elevator.
Yeah, the awkward elevator scene.
Yeah, the awkward elevator where Anakin's like really jittery and excited to see Padme and starting to show his true colors as a creep.
Yeah.
Perk boy.
Oh, so this is a clarifying point because this wasn't clear to me. Said it'd been a long time since they'd seen each other. Has it literally been since the events of the first movie?
I believe so, yeah. It's been like almost 10 years. But he still like dreams about her all the time.
Yeah.
And he says it.
He's in like the Jedi Academy and everything.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's hair is out of control.
It's one of the worst wigs I've ever seen.
It's
is he wigging in this?
It looks like his real hair.
No, I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's his real beard, though. Hell of a beard.
It looks very like... like Kurt Russell, 1986.
Yeah.
He's escaping from New York in this. I don't know if that was clear.
He's like mid growing it out, and then but then it's shorter and
but it's not quite as flowy as Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It's because it's wet. It's not a blowout movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like as the movie progresses, it gets more and more blown out.
Yeah.
Well, it gets wet, then it gets like air dried through your noses. It happens.
Big trouble.
Then he gets that perm in the third act. Yeah, he gets that perm in the third act.
Try skydiving through Coruscant and see if your hair holds up.
Just him at a salon.
It's his morning routine.
Just casually jumping out a window and grabbing onto a probe droid.
We see Jar Jar Binks again with
much smaller role.
What I said I'm going to start saying every time you guys come over, looky, looky, Misa Palos here.
It's like Melinda's going to love it.
Jar Jar was much better in this movie.
Toned down big time.
He's
barely in it. And they found something small enough to do with him where they were like, hey, we know you guys hated him, but he's a part of this story. We're going to keep him in. And used him very sparingly. But Jared, like you pointed out, he makes direct eye contact with the audience to be like, fuck yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, oh, I'm still here. What, you thought you'd keep me from coming back?
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah, I'm wearing this dress, bitch.
Is he what?
In episode three at all?
Yeah. I remember seeing him at Padme's funeral.
He's in it much less than he is in this one.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
It also sounds like you were there.
Yeah,
I was there.
I bumped into him.
We didn't catch up.
We got a life debt now. He bumped into him.
Saw him across the room.
I do think, though, that if Jar Jar was introduced later in this part of the saga, like if episode two was the first time we met him, I don't think there would be nearly as much Jar Jar hate.
They made us spend so much time with him while it was just like fart jokes and like clumsy humor.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I was like, oh, hey, Jar Jar. Nice to see you.
Yeah, hey, dude. It's fine. I'm in a good place with Jar Jar now. Yeah. I'm wearing a Jar Jar Binks t-shirt.
You are. It's awesome, actually.
I'm okay with Jar Jar. Thank you. The scene with Anakin.
Sounds like a self-help book. Like,
I'm okay with Jar Jar.
Being okay with Jar Jar.
I feel like someone should write that book.
I feel like Jar Jar should write that book.
Yeah, he should.
On my best memoir, I'm okay
Misa
with Jar Jar.
Okay with Jar Jar now?
Jar Jar is just all right with me.
Oh my god. I feel like there are a lot of adult Star Wars fans that could use that. Like, you know what? Jar Jar's fine. So are Ewoks.
Yeah. I love Ewoks.
Yeah,
me too.
Did people have a problem with Ewoks?
Yeah,
they did back. People hated 3PO, and then Return of the Jedi came out, and they were like, you promised us Wookiees! And
they didn't have the money. They like, made him Ewok.
The whole thing.
George Lucas is like, he's talking, like, there's a whole interview with him talking about like how people hated 3PO, and then the prequels came out. They're like, we're fine with 3PO, but who the fuck is this Jar Jar Binks guy?
Yeah, they hated Jar Jar. I don't know if that's true, the whole like budget thing where they save like her or whatever.
No, but in my head, I like that idea.
Yeah, I've also heard
five Wookiees, so they just cut up those costumes into 50 Ewoks.
They put all their Wookiee budget into the holiday special.
Yeah, oof, jeez. They
put all the makeup into that.
I think he wanted to make like more of a point too about like nature overcoming like technology, and by making it like little tiny bears, it like drives the point home a little bit more.
Which is still when we get to episode six, but one of the saddest moments in all of Star Wars.
Yeah, the tearjerker.
Yeah.
Seeing adult Anakin have a conversation with Jar Jar, and he's like, you barely recognize me, Jar Jar. This feels so weird. Yeah. These two people just chatting.
It's crazy to think that, like, in that conversation, Jar Jar makes more sense than he does.
Yeah, like, no, I feel like in episode one, no adult character talks to Jar Jar with any respect, ever.
Yeah.
Like, Anakin probably like, this guy's cool.
It's also insane that anyone would choose him for, like, their envoy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, thanks for all your help, Jar Jar, but I'm not going to give you a job.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'll give you a reference, but...
Yeah, please represent me in the Senate.
I know, it's insane.
It's insane.
She can't find literally one better person to be her proxy.
Yeah, like, why can't Rose Byrne do it or something? She's like, Jar Jar.
Should we have a simpleton who could easily be manipulated into doing the worst possible thing?
It's weird because it's...
Very quickly happens.
Technically, he is, like, a senator from Naboo because he's represented in the Gungan culture, so it's, like, weird to think that they're both senators.
Weird. Senator Binks.
That's what he goes by.
What was Captain Tarples doing?
Huh?
What was Captain Tarples doing?
He's relaxing in Ungunga. He's hanging out.
He's a bombad general.
He's a bomb bad general. He's a bomb bad general now.
We should give him emergency control.
He would have seen your some boss deep doo-doo.
How did you get bubbles to come out of your mouth like that?
That was really cool.
Saw the blue
milk. Blue milk. Blue milk bubbles. So Obi-Wan and Anakin are talking in like Padme's apartment, and there's a lot of weird stuff. Like
she was happy to see us.
She turned off the
in her flat.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Makes the a creepy comment on the cameras. Like, yeah, if she turned them off. She didn't like me watching her. Like,
yeah, we were like, oh, I wonder why. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
I can sense everything that's going on in the room, and then Obi-Wan's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, keep it down. My roommate's in the next room.
Although there is also that moment when Obi-Wan's like, hey, relax. He's like, although she was happy to see us. He's like, why is he encouraging it now?
Yeah. But you get the intro to Jango Fett here.
Yeah, we get Jango and Zam Wessel, who's really super cool.
Yeah.
That changeling
awesome.
Bounty Hunter. Yeah.
I really like the droid, the way it does the kind of glass cutting thing.
Yeah, just the circuit.
And drops those. What are those creatures called? The poison
it's like
millipede things?
It's almost pronounced like a centipede thing. I forget what it is, though. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
I remember the R2 action figure.
Tweet at us or Instagram post.
They are.
Message us.
Fucking gross.
They're really gross, yeah.
The R2 action figure for episode 2 came with both of those. I think it's cool.
Gross.
Yeah. I have so many toys from episode 2 because it's
still
like
have
when
them?
I really got into it. Yeah, I still have them, yeah. Where I really got into like the Star Wars like toys and stuff like that. I have like the two speeders and everything like that, so it's like so weird thing. I'm like, oh wow, I can reenact this whole movie with toys.
They're called cowhuns.
Cowhuns?
Oh, yeah. I was completely wrong
weird.
With pronunciation.
Or cowhuns.
Someone was saying how close Anakin came to like chopping Padme's head off when he kills those
He jumps on the bed and just like knocks
cuts
his
them both in half.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, you want to see Manu Chainsaw Hockey Mask?
Yeah, it is like that. The Cape Fear episode.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a very similar moment.
Yeah,
I love
the exact same thing.
That scene quickly goes to like, because it's like very uneasy where they're like crawling these train millipede things and then they get instantly cut with him jumping in and Obi-Wan doesn't like miss a beat. He's like, I'm fucking diving through this 400-story building up the window.
What was his plan?
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, what's the plan, Phil?
Like, yeah,
jumps through
what's
and grabs
plan,
it.
Phil?
That's where this movie looks a lot like Blade Runner for like.
It yeah, it does.
Yeah.
With all the
I actually
cars,
love
the
that chase scene a lot.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's pretty.
That's
cool.
Where it clicked to me. I was like, this is a cop movie.
Yeah, that's also the moment though where I'm like, I feel so bad for Obi-Wan dealing with Anakin all the time.
Yeah.
Like
Anakin's
that, like
such.
He's like, pull up, Anakin, and Anakin's doing that like force, like,
and he's laughing. Yeah,
it's like, yeah, and he's like,
you asshole.
I couldn't find,
yeah.
You know me, master. I couldn't find a speeder I like.
Well, with the open.
Well, I thought that back was kind of funny. I was like, you know how it
I'm
is.
Not making fun of the line. I'm making fun of his delivery.
Oh like, yeah, I do like how I forget who said it when we were watching it. They're like, he's like your asshole friend that drives like an asshole just to like see if they can make
yeah,
it easy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like. Everyone's like, stop, but he's like still doing it, pissed him off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, sorry, master. I'll be right back. And like jumps
and then
off.
Obi-Wan's just like, I hate it when he does that.
Yeah, when? How often is he doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's incorrigible. Bad Anakin.
But the chase is really cool.
It is.
And I love Zam Wessel seeing her face change. And
yeah.
That, like,
yeah, when she gets angry.
Blast. Super cool.
Her gun is sweet too.
Yeah,
the
long.
The droid.
I like, she has the long rifle, and I like her pistol, too. Her pistol's pretty cool.
Yeah,
she's a pistol.
Yeah.
She is fucking badass.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
So cool. And then seeing, like, the streets of Coruscant with all, like, the ads going on. And
yeah.
Are those, like, political ads, you think?
I think it's a little bit of everything.
There's, like, those dudes, like, what's the creature? Is the species that's, like, one of the Figure and Dan in the model nodes, like, Cantina Band?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what that species is called.
Model node.
Embarrassing, I should know all this stuff. But they're like waving their finger at like it's like the pink like one and the blue one like it's super cool, and then we could see the inside of that nightclub.
Yeah,
that's really wacky.
Cool.
Yeah, I think they kind of do a whole. It's supposed to be like a whole homage to New Hope, to especially like where
Obi-Wan
cuts off the arm, and then you get like all the different, just the random different aliens and women in very provocative outfits.
And the character named Sleaze Bago.
Yeah, I do like that scene because it is like so quotable.
It's great.
Like,
I do not want to sell you Death 6.
Yeah,
I want to go home and rethink my life.
Death 6 is such an on the nose name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it.
Sleaze Bago. Yeah, but that I do like how it's so like in every cantina you go into in the Star Wars universe, it's like as soon as it happens, everyone's like,
"Is it Bith?
Oh
it
shit,
is Bith? Yeah,
thanks.
Oh, the Got species. It. Yeah,
yeah.
But Anakin's just like, it's Jedi business."
Your brain was moving
along
until that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shimo, I was listening. What were you saying?
No, I'm done.
No. What were you saying? I was pretending to be tired. I was listening.
Yeah.
I was looking it up.
But no, I just like how even after like everybody like stops because someone's literally just been delimbed, and then Anakin's just like, it's Jedi business, like, oh, okay, and they just turn back to their what they're doing.
Yeah, it's, I like to think it's a pretty normal
yeah.
Thursday night at that
right?
club in Coruscant.
Then Zam gets killed by Jango.
By the dart comes out of nowhere, and Zam dies.
Pretty quickly, too.
So then kind of a lot happens. We get the scene with, like, Rose Byrne's character, and they're kind of rushing.
Rose Byrne.
They're trying to get Anakin to, like, look over Padme and get her out of there, basically, because they're actively trying to kill her. And meanwhile, Obi-Wan goes to Dexter Jetster's diner to get information about the dart.
Well, yeah, they do, like, the whole Jedi Council scene, too, where Yoda and Mace Windu are like, get to the bottom of this. And
right,
like,
they set them on their mission.
Which I do...
Should I pick it up from here?
Sure, yeah, you want to go for it?
Yeah, okay. So then, this is where we now send Anakin and Padme to Naboo. Anakin wearing the greasiest...
dirty tablecloth.
Most dirty tablecloth poncho you've ever seen in your life.
Was it you that had the joke, too, when they were in the diner? And you're like, oh, how do you get Anakin's poncho?
Yeah, Dexter Jexter's shirt looks identical. Apron. Yeah, it's like mustard stain somehow. It's like the first time you find out there's mustard in the Star Wars universe.
Padme loved it. She's like, he's creepy to me and has stains.
Yes,
please. I
love mustard, too.
Got any stains left in you?
Wait, I hate mustard. Oh. It gets everywhere. So coarse.
So coarse.
Coarse brown Dijon.
Oh.
Let's quickly move on from this, please.
Yeah.
That's where we have the awkward love scenes between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm skipping over a lot of them packing like to go away in her like bedroom.
Yeah, he's like having a hissy fit. He's like, I'm so much better than Obi-Wan. He won't let me be powerful.
He's holding me back.
He's holding me back. And she's like, oh, really? I'm holding her socks.
Yeah. And then she's like, don't look at me like that. And he's like, why?
Yeah.
Because it makes me uncomfortable. Yeah.
I will say one thing that goes unnoticed in all of Star Wars movies is how good the maintenance is. They replace that window so effortlessly and so quickly.
Didn't even think about it.
Right?
Because all they had to do was like an undo a click on the CG.
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah.
Quick control Z.
Yeah. And it's just back.
So we're on Naboo. I'm thinking specifically of the scene where they're like in the grass having a picnic and there's the waterfalls in the background. And there are those weird animals that Anakin is like riding on, and it looks
pretty bad.
It's one of the visual things that does not hold up in this movie.
They look like giant ticks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
It's
the tick butts.
It's very much the same animation in the first Harry Potter movie where they're doing the broomstick training, and Neville is like going out of control and he gets caught on one of the statues and falls down.
And he's
like
a PlayStation
kind of
1 character shaking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty rough looking.
Meanwhile, Obi-Wan is now...
on his way to Kamino.
No, he's still back at the you've skipped over the whole him at the Jedi when he's like in the library.
Oh yeah, with all the
That's
kids
right.
and stuff.
He goes
man,
to the
I'm
library,
all see. I told you this one. I'm all over the place.
Takes his information from Dexter Jexter, and then takes that to go to and find Kamino.
Yeah, you get Jocasta Nu though.
Wait,
yeah,
the Jedi
librarian.
Is it he at the restaurant? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
the diner.
He goes from there to the library.
Oh yeah, and he's with that like.
Dexter Jexter.
The guy who looks like
yeah,
Dex from Office Space.
Yeah,
with the mustache.
Yeah.
I love Dex.
He looks like he's like a Bears fan or something.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to sell diabetes medication.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I loved getting a glimpse into the little Jedi training with Yoda. It was so cute.
I love that too. It's adorable.
That whole
scene are awesome.
Is great. I just love when he's like, hit the shades. He just turns around and does that. Yeah. Like doesn't even like
to
Liam.
Like a hand movement. Yeah.
Liam.
Liam
is my favorite character in the Star Wars.
Yeah, he's like, Liam, get the shades. And DJ was joking. He pulls out sunglasses and puts them on.
Yeah, that's it.
He's a class clown.
Cool you are.
Cool you are.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. That whole class is adorable. Even like some of the kids are like little mutant alien kids.
Yeah, like, but he looks so like he's 150 years old.
It's so cute, even though some of them are freaks. But.
Right. Cute freaks.
But it is cool, though, when he's like, the planet should be like here. He's like, how did this happen? And the kid's like, someone erased it. He's like, kid's fucking right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, truly magnificent the mind of a child is. I love that.
Yeah.
Yoda looks great in this movie, I think.
Yeah, he does look pretty good.
He's not a creepy puppet.
The puppet's pretty bad. Yeah.
Episode 1 puppet. I love the episode 5 puppet.
But episode 3, the Yoda CG is awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Really cool.
Can you imagine if they had done the episode 5 puppet for the lightsaber?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Like Christopher Lee tangled up in strings.
Like the
it would look like Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Or that bit that happens in movies where like a raccoon jumps in your face and someone's just holding it to their face.
It's a puppet.
And acting like it's freaking out.
Yeah, they're pulling it to their face.
It would have to be that.
I kind of want to see that version.
I do think Yoda looks great.
Yeah.
He does. So Yoda tells Obi-Wan to go to where he believes the planet is and find the center of gravity, and the planet will be
the
there.
Gravity's pull.
They say, because the kids say somebody deleted the planet from the Jedi archives. And then do we go back to Anakin and Padme?
Yeah, this is like the intercutting of the, where you start getting like one story here, and this one, then that one, then this one, then that.
Like, so the reason this is my lowest ranked live action Star Wars movie, and as much as I love a lot about this movie, the romance stuff,
it's bad.
Is pretty bad, and I think the droid factory is pretty bad.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We will. I don't want to start talking about
it
yet.
I have a lot of thoughts on that.
That's what brings this movie down for me, even though there is some great stuff too.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So them on Naboo sitting out in that field where he's talking about like if people don't agree, they should be made to, and he's saying all this like really weird stuff. And
who called
them in the
middle?
He called what?
When we were watching, someone was like,
"Someone's like, it's like an allergies commercial or something."
Oh, yeah, it was me. Yeah.
Allergy medicine.
And then Tim said it was like a screensaver.
Yeah,
it's kind of a picnic at the screensaver.
Someone told me to talk to my doctor.
Sorry, continue, Jerry.
To see if tyranny is right for you.
Right? Well, then she's kind of like looking at him, and he's like, implies he's joking about some of it, and then they're rolling around with those crazy tick. Pigs, or whatever they are.
Tick pigs.
There's definitely a name for
sounds
all these
like
creatures.
Sounds like a band that would open for Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Hey, we're Tick Pig.
Somebody sent me a Tick Pig the other night on my phone.
Oh, you got that? Cool.
An unsolicited Tick Pig.
Yeah. Pig Tick.
Big fat Tick.
Chinmo, Jesus.
I should know the name of those creatures. All these things, I don't. I'm not well versed in my
Rural
episode
farm
two.
Boy is yelling at us right now.
I know. Yeah.
I'm always good with names, not creatures.
I'm going to read his review at the end of the episode.
I'll look up Attack of the Clones Tick Pig and see what happens.
Tick Pig. Turn off safe search.
When I first saw it, I thought they were Nerf, like scruffy looking Nerf herder, but they're not. Something else.
Some of the canon novels refer to
it. Oh my fucking god, it popped up.
Tick Pig came up. What are they called?
Shock.
Oh, yeah, S-H-A-A-K.
Oh, yeah, so there's also a Jedi Master named
Shock
T. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. But
she's named
that's called a Shock.
But look, I actually
yeah, it translates to like
Tick Pig, and
Tick Pig face.
Up, like that scene.
Yeah, the exact scene.
That is insane.
That's pretty cool.
I am shocked.
Really funny.
You're shocked, T. But yeah, then it starts to intercut, though, like where they're rolling around on the grass and having weird conversations by fire. To Obi-Wan doing some cool stuff on Kamino, which is probably my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah, I like all the Kamino stuff. All the interior Kamino looks very CG heavy, but
it's literally just a white light.
I love the creature design of the Kamino. Is it Kaminoans?
Yeah, Kaminoans. They're really cool.
They almost don't look like they belong in Star Wars. Like they kind of look like
they look like they should be underwater.
Yeah, or like in a Steven Spielberg movie or something.
Yeah, like iRobot or like
yeah,
AI
but I
like
I love
era.
How they look. I think their whole setup is really cool. The creature design of them is cool. The like clone baby base looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Their eyes are really cool.
Yeah.
They look like galaxies.
Little mohawk.
A little mohawk, and they're like. Calm voices is like kind of creepy but cool.
He's like, this is Lama Sue. It's like a spa.
We were joking, like Obi-Wan walks into that bright hallway and one of them like approaches him right away. We're just like just screaming like they're terrifying looking.
Whoa, look at you, huh? Wow, damn.
And I love the rain, and so that
it's super
aesthetic
cool.
Like the nighttime and the pouring rain is so cool.
Yeah, very unique planet. Like, it's the whole surface is water and it's raining all the time. It's really cool.
And that kind of gives back another nod to that, like, a noir mystery where it's very, like, dark and stormy. And
yeah, and they're like a street light type thing.
Yeah, the drizzling rain in the background.
Yeah, it reminds me of the end of the new Blade Runner movie.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That movie's awesome.
And he parks, like, a mile away from the door.
Yeah.
So he has to walk in the pouring rain and then has to send a message. Like, yeah. he records a message, like, in the pouring rain. It sucks being a Jedi.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
I don't know, ponchos.
Yeah.
They got the robe.
Yeah.
Which I like.
That just absorbs all it.
He, like,
opens
me
wet
for
3 weeks.
Right. He opens, like, up the cockpit and, like, gets out fine and then puts the hood on. Like, he couldn't have done that before he popped the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I do like the, like you're saying, the whole design. And then this is, like, where you get Jango Fett and Boba Fett and his whole origin and backstory. But it's also where you get, like, the bulk of the mystery. Where you find out, like, Sifo Dyas, Process Order.
I don't think that a lot of that works for me overall. Like, them saying, like, yeah, Master Sifo Dyas. Like, oh, he's been dead for 10 years. And, I mean, the whole point is, like, Palpatine's behind it and Darth Sidious. But, like, as a fan who was, like, digging deep in these movies, for a long time I was like, who was Sifo Dyas? Like, what's up? Like, the Clone Wars answered that.
They do. They do a whole arc on it.
Way later, though. Like, yeah. I was going into episode 3 being like,
the way you guys are pronouncing it makes it sound like he's Cuban.
Sifo Dyas. That's what they call him, right? Sifo Dyas?
I thought it was like Sifo Dyas.
It might be like Dyas.
I think it's spelled S-I-F-O-D-Y. There's a Y in his last name. It's not like,
I thought it was S-Y-F-O-D-I-A-S. I could be wrong, though. I don't know.
But, Google?
I'm on it.
They, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't go anywhere in the movie or episode 3. Like, that was something that going to see episode 3, it was like, who is Sifo Dyas?
Yeah, there's no, like, clarification of that. It would be one thing if they were like, oh, it was so-and-so posing as Sifo Dyas.
Right, which they do, but not until... thank you. Thank you. All right. They do it in the... nice. Nice.
Is he in the movie?
No.
Okay, all right, because I Googled it, and his picture popped up, and I was like, I don't remember this fucking guy.
He's in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's what popped up. But it's...
Sorry, go ahead.
Sifo-Dyas.
Okay, you're right. The Y is the second part. Okay.
What were you saying, Chin? That they do clarify?
Yeah, there's a whole arc in the Clone Wars cartoon to where they actually talk about how Sifo Dyas was on a mission, and then Dooku basically, like, stole his identity and, like, hid his body away, and, like, he breaks everything about it, and, like, basically stole his identity, placed this order under his name to start the production of the clones. It's really great.
I mean, that's a cool episode and everything, but I feel like to raise that mystery and then explain it, like, that episode was, what, like, 2013 or something? Like,
yeah, it was years later.
Yeah, like, 11 years later, be like, this is what happened there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the shows are great, but the movies should be able to stand on their own, and
I think so too.
That doesn't really make sense.
I think that's, like, one of those things where it's, like, he wrote it in there, and he's like, well, people understand this. It was a Jedi, and the bad guy took his identity, but they'd never say it. It's like one of those things that could have used a little bit more explanation.
So
he's like, they'll understand that identity theft took place.
If they're going to believe that Padme and Anakin fall in love, they'll believe this. It's fun.
Yeah, I guess. Before episode 3, that's why I was convinced that we were going to get some revelation in Revenge of the Sith that Qui-Gon was, like, working with Sidious and Dooku. I was
that would have been crazy.
I was like, because he doesn't disintegrate when he dies. Like, he could be in on it bringing Anakin to Palpatine.
Well, even Dooku in this being like, when he's like, Qui-Gon would never join you, and he's like, don't be so sure.
Right, like, all that made me think of that. And then they talk about Sifo Dyas dying, like, 10 years ago, which is when Phantom Menace happened, and, like, when Qui-Gon died. So I was thinking, like, Qui-Gon was related to it somehow. Like, he was helping move things along.
You dive deep into the speculation, and I love it.
Yeah, like, I had a lot of free time when I was a kid before episode 3. And I don't know. But I don't know. That's kind of what I mean. Like, I think it's a little lame that they're like, oh, yeah, we just learned how to disintegrate this week. And that one line in episode 3, I don't know.
We're going to have a lot of, when we start talking about, like, Force Ghosts more and stuff, me and you are going to have a very interesting debate, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know. I love Force Ghosts. I'm all for it. And those episodes of Clone Wars with Yoda are great.
It's incredible.
I think there's ways to do that without claiming that they just invented Force Ghosts.
Mm.
20 years before New Hope.
We'll talk about it more, but yeah, I have a lot of
I want to know them.
I do like how you were talking about, though, Tim, where you're like, yeah, how Qui-Gon was my, like, Dooku was, like, apprentice.
Well, what are your Force Goat thoughts, too?
Oh,
we don't
okay.
have to wait, right? We can
Force
just talk
Goats?
Force Goats?
Force Goat? Yeah, Force Goat. welcome to Force Goat talk.
I like the idea that it wasn't that once a Jedi dies, they can just come back and be like, hey, he's still here. Like, how's it going type thing. I like how, and they really do dive into this a lot in the Clone Wars show, about how Qui-Gon was basically chosen to train the chosen one, Anakin. And he goes through this whole thing, and he was going to learn how to project his consciousness back after dying, being part of the cosmic force and not the living force anymore.
Right.
But he died before he finished his training. And then in the Clone Wars, you find out that it goes to Yoda. He takes up that mantle and learns how to do it. And he talks to Obi-Wan about giving him training when he's on Tatooine and stuff like that. And I like that it's not like so many people have tried to do it to live on after death. Like, that's Sidious's whole thing. He wants to kind of live forever. And I like that it was Qui-Gon that started it. And it goes into where he died, so Yoda takes it up, and that it's fairly new, like before A New Hope, to where it's, because you get literally hundreds and thousands of Jedis in like the prequels and stuff.
Right.
It'd be like a throwaway, like death means nothing. Like they're all back. Here's his Kit Fisto over here hanging out. Here's...
Well, we also don't know the limits of what they can do as a Force Ghost. Like, we've never seen a Force Ghost fight or anything.
Exactly. That's why they're expanding on it more, like with Last Jedi and Yoda
right.
and stuff like that. And they do a lot in the and the Clone Wars and stuff like that.
Never gets old.
Old doo-doo.
Old doo-doo.
But I like that it's not everybody. Doo-doo number two. I like that it's not every Jedi. You have to have gone through this special training for it.
I just think it's a little weird that ghosts are invented over the course of the Star
Wars. That's
the
thing, though. I mean, granted, we call them Force Ghosts, but they've never been referred to that in like canon or the movies.
No, they haven't, but like I wonder,
because it's literally just their consciousness being projected back from the cosmic force.
I think the thing, all the lore that you're talking about, Shin, sounds cool. The part that seems weird about it is that in the original trilogy, it doesn't seem like Anakin and Obi-Wan need to go through like a bunch of training for that to happen.
So,
like, for them it just feels like
right.
they died and now they're
Obi-Wan was definitely doing that training on Tatooine before he died, like with Qui-Gon, I think, from Beyond the Grave.
And the
to do it. But,
oh, go ahead.
But the idea that Obi-Wan is the first ever Force Ghost, basically,
that we see
to materialize ever. I don't know. I don't love that. I think like if one of us died and came back and we were like, hey, I'm the first ghost, guys.
Yeah.
We'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, like,
for Obi-Wan,
yeah.
I would love that in like Empire for him to be like, Luke, this won't mean that much to you, but this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
No one's just so you know, no one's ever done this
yeah.
before.
Well, they hint at it too. Like in episode 3 was like, I've been communing with Qui-Gon to where like,
well, they don't hint at it. They had to
say
in one sentence
to,
I feel like, just be like, oh, and we've totally forgot to make Qui-Gon disappear. So here you go.
Well, wasn't they like that he didn't disappear because he couldn't fully materialize back. He could only like his voice and stuff like that.
I don't know. I love those Yoda episodes of the Clone Wars, but I think it would have been a lot smoother and more consistent if Qui-Gon just disintegrated when he died in Phantom Menace. And that was just what Jedis do who have like achieved like a Jedi enlightenment, basically.
Well, there's five of us here.
Too.
You both made a good argument for your side of this. Let's have me, Kat, and DJ vote on who's right.
Okay.
And we can.
And then
put
the other one
us.
Is off the podcast. All right, cool.
By the end of the show, there's going to be one of us left.
All right, so raise your hand if you think it's dumb that Force Ghosts are not introduced until Obi-Wan.
Well, you got to think about it, too. Like, introduced until Obi-Wan, that, like, the...
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Arguments are over.
Yeah. For the listeners, Tim and Kat are raising their hands, and I am not.
So the eyes have it.
My reasoning is it's gonna start somewhere.
Yeah.
Why not with him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that reasoning. And again, I love the storyline of Yoda learning about the cosmic force. I just think it's...
Let me rephrase that. It doesn't have to start anywhere, but if it's gonna start, it starts with him, and I'm okay with it.
And everybody always says, then why does Anakin pop up back at the end of episode 6? And my reasoning behind that is always that he is the chosen one, like where he was produced by Midichlorians and stuff like that, so that he, it's almost like he gets a pass on it to where he doesn't need that extensive training. He like is able to do it.
And no Jedi ever in thousands and thousands of years ever had that before?
Yeah, he's like the first. He's the,
wait,
he's the chosen
let's,
one.
But let's talk
lore.
About that for a second, because do you guys think he's actually the chosen one?
I do.
No. I feel like if, for you to be the chosen one, you have to stick to being a good guy.
Well, because the chosen one is supposed to bring balance to the Force, right?
He does eventually. He kills the Emperor.
Well, that can mean a lot of different things, because at the end, although Star Wars canon's different now, but I was going to say, like, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, there's kind of like two Jedi and two Sith left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we know from canon now there's more Jedi out there.
Yeah.
So that's not really true.
I always thought the Chosen One thing was like a ruse, or not a ruse, but like Palpatine specifically played into that prophecy to to manipulate events.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that he was the Chosen One, but
yeah, I don't know. I do think that it's widely believed that Anakin's the Chosen One. And then I know that Obi-Wan thinks Luke is the Chosen One for a while when he's on Tatooine. Like, when he finds purpose in his mission again, it's because he thinks Luke's the Chosen One. And I think that Luke thinks that Ben Solo is the Chosen One in the later years. Like,
I think it's almost like a generational thing, that where everyone's like,
there's always a Chosen One?
Yeah,
type thing, yeah.
Anakin just seems too unstable to me to, like, be any kind of leader or
have any kind of responsibility.
Yeah like he, and it might just be because he's kind of a teenager when we're seeing him here, but I just don't think that he has the gravitas to kind of lead a movement until he becomes Vader, which I still don't understand the transition. There.
Well, he gets burned by lava, and then he needs the suit.
Well, he's Vader before all that, though.
Yeah.
Which they, and this kind of brings us back to where we are in the plot, where they're on Naboo, and he's like having nightmares about his mother, and he's like, "I need to go save her."
Way to bring us back from a huge tangent. That's good. Let's keep going.
He's like, "I need to go save her." And Padme's like, all right, I'll go with you. And they go back to Tatooine to try to save his mom. And that's where we meet Uncle Owen and his girlfriend.
Yeah. Feels very on the nose.
Yeah.
This is my girlfriend, Beru.
Girlfriend,
Yeah. It's so, and then he goes. And
I would love it if it was awkward and they're like, we haven't really talked, but we haven't really decided what this is yet.
Yeah. He's like, this is my friend. And she's like, friend.
We're just kind of hanging out.
This
right
is
now.
My booty call. This is Beru.
We're keeping
Beru
a
booty call. Nice.
Yeah.
So when he goes and gets there and it's revealed that his mom has been missing and he finds that the sand people have kidnapped her, and that she's dying, and he goes and rescues her momentarily and she dies in his arms, and then he just lashes out and kills all of the sand people.
Yeah.
Not just the men, but the women and the children too.
I love a lot of this. So he goes back and talks to Watto again.
Yeah.
Chuck Watto.
And then
Watto homeless? He kind of seems like he is in that.
I don't know.
He's got a cool new hat
covered
now.
In flies.
He's older, but he seems he's gone like legit a little bit more. He talks about like getting Shmi married. Like, it doesn't sound like he sold her. It sounds like
he
married her off.
Yeah. Which is nice, because I know like they talk about like in canon, like he, after that pod race episode one, he basically loses everything because he bet everything on Sebulba. So this is more like
he bet every on Sebulba.
Nice. but this is like him just more like, I got really nothing left. This is kind of all I have here, is this tiny little shop now.
Yeah, so we get to see Sebulba again, and then Anakin goes off to the Lars homestead, which is awesome to see all those locations
again. Not Sebulba.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, thank you. I wish we saw Sebulba again. That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
I thought we did, but I think maybe it was
just
there's a few other of his species in the movie that pop up. But yeah, we see Watto again, and they go to the Lars homestead, which is really cool to see again.
Mm.
I love the scene of Anakin going off to find his mother. There's like all those cool shots of like
sand crawlers.
Yeah, like night, like dusk happening at on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. The sand crawlers open with like the light coming out of it.
Mm.
Him on that speeder bike. It's really cool. A cat crawling around us.
Yeah.
We were all like, really, oh, look. I love that scene. And then him finding Shmi.
It reminds me of the speeder bikes you race in Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, I love that. The swoop bikes, mm-hmm. that level through like the streets.
Mm-hmm. And borderline motorcycle. Rolls.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that awesome shot, though, of him on the cliff at night over the Tuscan camp. Looks so fucking cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, he's under the Tuscan sun.
Nice.
So funny.
And that's a pretty cool fight scene, too. It's very short. But
yeah, he cuts off two heads and then fucks up the rest of them.
They had, like, a R-rated version where he's slaughtered. We get to watch the slaughter a little bit
more. I wish you saw more of that, because that, even though Anakin's, like, a sniveling brat in this movie... If there was an extended sequence of that where we just saw him, like, fully give in to his rage.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just, like, decimating that village, then you're like, all right, now this is the Vader that I'm used to.
I need to check my sources on this. I don't know if it's a novelization or what it is that has, they, apparently, like, it's explicit, I think it's in the novelization, that Dooku, like, was holding something over the Tusken Raider's head to, like, get them to kidnap Shmi.
Which makes sense.
Like, yeah, it does. Like, I think it's all part of Palpatine's plan to bring Anakin closer to the dark side. But I wish that was clear in the movie.
Yeah.
Because why would they take Shmi, tie her up like that, and keep her hostage?
Sifo Dyas hired them.
Yeah. Or whoever it is, like,
yeah,
Tyrannus or whatever. I think that would have been a little... giving it a little more depth if that was made clear that someone was, like, messing with him the whole time.
Yeah, because it's almost kind of unbelievable, too. Like, and we'll talk about it more when we get to episode 3, but just how he is, like, fully willing to now give in to the dark side. Like,
yeah,
this one, he is selfish and greedy, and he's like, I want to be able to love and do what I want and control things. So you're starting to see a little bit of his aspects. But I wish there was more of aspects,
I expect.
A little bit of those, like, personality points, but also have him have more interaction with, like, Dooku or Palpatine or something, so that he could, like, see them being more charismatic or being drawn to them or... something aside from just interacting with them in a battle scene.
As much as I love the prequel trilogy, that I was ultimately pretty disappointed that when Anakin does turn to the dark side, I didn't agree with him. Like, as a viewer, I wanted to be like, man, that sucks. I would make every decision he made, and he still ended up down this path, and that's, like, tragic. But there are so many decisions that I'm just like, no, you obviously don't slaughter children or whatever he ends up doing. Like, I don't know.
That's what he does. He slaughters children.
Yeah, at one point, I know, and I think that's crazy.
I'm with you guys, but I feel like we should save that conversation.
Yeah, no, we should. But what I'm saying is, like you're saying, like, the turn of the dark side, I like it a lot with him killing the Sand People in revenge for his mother, but I wish we saw a little bit more about, like, why they took her in the first place.
Yeah.
And tell that, like, people were influencing this, changing him.
You do get, to actually kind of tie back with the whole Force Ghost thing, you do get the Liam Neeson yelling at Anakin, which is awesome.
I know he was supposed to be in episode 3 also. But
he got a motorcycle accident.
No, I think he was just shooting Batman Begins and couldn't do it.
Oh, I thought he got an accident and couldn't do it.
I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
My favorite character in these movies is Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson as himself.
Yeah. I don't know. Ra's al Ghul sounds like a Star Wars name.
Yeah, yeah, it really does.
Much more than Sleaze Bago.
Episode 3, but he was taken.
Is that Liam the student's last name, Neeson?
Yeah, probably.
Liam that's the Liam Neeson. Student Neeson. Yeah.
It's like
M-E-E-Z-O-N or something. There's an awesome Star Wars comic series that I don't think it was ever canon, but it was called Star Wars Tales.
So good.
And each issue is like a bunch of random stories from like any time period. And there's one where Vader is like drawn to this planet with like a small group of stormtroopers. And Darth Maul is there with like the robot legs. And he kills off all these stormtroopers really quick. And he fights Vader, and he's like, you know, Skywalker, I've seen your heart, and, like, there's still light in you. You're not evil enough to, like, be true Sith. And they fight, and Vader ends up killing Maul. And Maul's like, what could you possibly hate enough to destroy me? And Vader's just like, myself. And then this whole idea that, like, Anakin Skywalker's self-hatred is what brought him to the dark side, if they had expressed that in any way in the prequels.
Yeah, that's way more intriguing and kind of sympathetic.
Yeah. The idea that, like, he feels insane guilt for something and can't shake it is a great... I don't know. I wish that was clear in the movies.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I agree
with that.
I agree with you on all accounts.
I've got other thoughts on, like, what could have made trans- cooler, but I'll save it.
I'll say, let's save this for three.
Yeah, that's the big. Oh, actually, two episodes from now. We have
Shinmo, do you want to carry the
story
forward?
Yeah, so then after he, you know, he slaughters the men, the women, and the children, you get the him basically crying to Padme in, I'm going to call it Luke's little hangout, Eric's. Same,
the little garage workshop or whatever.
Same from episode 4.
Where we see 18-year-old Luke playing with a toy.
Yes, yeah. As he's giving 3PO a bath.
T-16.
Which is
Anakin's tinkering with equipment that does not belong to
him. Who brought that up? Someone was like, this isn't his garage. Like, this isn't his stuff.
I'm just taking apart their appliances.
Yeah. Which I think is wicked fucking fun.
I mentioned that he was just pretending to do work, and then I think it was Tim who said, it's like not even his stuff. It's at someone else's house.
Yeah, it's so good. And then that's where you end up getting, it goes back before with more with the Kamino stuff, where Obi-Wan, after talking to Jango Fett, goes back to basically arrest him as him and Boba are leaving, and you get the awesome fight between Boba from Jango and Obi-Wan in the rain.
Yeah,
I love that fight scene.
Yeah,
it's great.
This is gonna sound stupid and silly, but I remember when I saw this movie, I was 12 when this movie came out, and I remember seeing. It was definitely a weeknight because I had school the next day, but my mom took me, and there was like a handful of us that went. And I remember going home that night, being just like super like amped on. I'm like, this was so good. It was so cool. Like all the Jedi fighting stuff. I remember like taking a shower that night, pretending I had like a lightsaber fighting in the rain.
In the shower?
Yeah. I was like, it's possible. You can do it in the rain.
I might regret asking this, but what did you use as the lightsaber?
My imagination.
Interesting.
No, but yeah, I just always remember that. I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
It'd be funny if lightsabers were put out by the rain.
Yeah, they're useless.
It's like a cigarette lighter.
Soggy saber. Like, sorry, it's not working.
I loved watching, when we were watching Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, like, practice the choreography for the lightsaber fights. Like, they have wooden lightsabers that they fight with.
Yeah, those
which
are
is
sweet.
Awesome.
That's what they use that on set, too. That's, like, what they would,
yeah.
And they would
oh,
be,
that's
like,
really
a green
sweet.
Screen on it to add the effect in.
That's cool.
Although, the new Disney movies, they have ones that light up.
It's actually,
yeah,
lights.
Yeah, they light up. Like,
really?
That's
yeah,
sweet.
Like, that's why in Force Awakens, like, when they're on that snow planet.
Rey and Kylo.
And Rey and Kylo, like, you see so much of the light on their face. Like, the props are actually light
that's
up
awesome.
Ones. It's pretty cool, yeah.
Is Jango Fett, like, Australian or New Zealand? Or from New
we
Zealand,
were talking
right?
about this earlier.
New
I think
yeah, it's New Zealand.
You thought he was from New
Zealand. I
thought
he was from New Zealand, yeah.
I thought
sure,
he was
though.
Polynesian. I could be wrong on this.
Well,
Deej, you want to Google
this?
Is he
like Maori, maybe?
Yeah, what am I looking up again?
Temuera Morrison is like where he's from, basically.
New
who
Zealand
I,
is
he's
Polynesian.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's Polynesian.
He is really great. I love him in this movie.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I love how...
he's a very interesting character.
I know they make a lot of changes to the original trilogy, but like they put his voice in for Boba Fett's. So I love that.
He's from New Zealand.
He's from New Zealand. Oh, he's a Kiwi. All right.
I think they like that.
Isn't that what they refer? I apologize if I.
In Flight of the Conchords, they refer. Don't they just refer to Australians as Kiwis?
I thought it was people from New Zealand.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Either way, if I offended anybody, I apologize. But what were you gonna say, Tim?
Just such a weird tangent, but. Last year, I went on a Wikipedia journey about Polynesia, and it's so weird that, like, New Zealand and Hawaii and all these places in between share culture and, like, mythologies, and that's just so interesting to me. That
crazy far apart.
Such a spanning,
it's cool.
Culture, yeah.
That's a very interesting culture. I always think about that. I want to learn more about
that. But, yeah, you get this awesome fight scene in the rain. I think we joked, I love how when Jango, like, ties up Obi-Wan's hands and he loses the saber, the way how Obi-Wan just, like, pulls him down, his hands would have been, like, just
mangled,
taken off.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool seeing someone hold their own with a Jedi who,
that's
like, you know, one person has a lightsaber.
That's why I'm such a big fan of Boba and Jango Fett, especially, like, even in the end, Jango Fett, like, he's being faced down by a Jedi, like, he doesn't, like, try and... like run away, he just straight up like I'm gonna fucking fight you.
In canon now, we've learned from Rebels that Mandalorians, like a lot of the equipment they have, like grappling hooks and stuff,
is for
was
Jedi.
Meant to fight against people that have the Force. So like the grappling hook stuff are meant to like be able to grab things that I can do it.
That's
like
really
a lot
cool.
of their armor.
Yeah, because
really
the Jedi Mandalorian war, which is canon, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love that whole fight scene. Boba kind of gets into it and starts shooting him with his ship and everything, Slave One. But then they take off, and you get the chase scene to Geonosis, to where you get the asteroid thing with the seismic charges, which is awesome.
What the fuck is going on?
we're moving really quick now.
Well, it's because we talked about the Anakin stuff so much, and this is where the movie intercuts.
Yeah, we
have to
catch up a little bit.
But I was like, I was basically with you for most of it, and then you just started spitting out all these like very much
and
like
the next
Star
thing
they're
in like an arena and it going. But no, after after they battle and Obi-Wan like falls off the edge and comes back up with the angry Force door open.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, then he calls the. Does he call the council before he leaves?
No, here he like talks to
already
them.
Had that call. Yeah, then the next call's from.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because his call ends when like his fight with Jango begins.
Yes.
Did Batman Begins just rip that scene off when he like they're sliding off of whatever that place is, and Jango like has those blades come out of his wrist, and he's like saving.
This
was
before,
pretty similar.
Yeah,
this is before. Yeah, yeah. 3 years before.
Well,
maybe it was Liam Neeson's idea.
Yeah, he's like, guys, it's part of this franchise.
Yeah,
wow,
that's a really good Liam Neeson.
Fucking Frank Caliendo over here.
The seismic charges are super cool.
They were awesome in the theater. I remember being like, "Oh shit, wow, this is really intense sound effects."
Yeah, it's just super unique. And fun. I like that whole asteroid.
Yeah.
Sequence.
Great. I love how many. I guess bells and whistles you get off of Slave One to where you get the seismic charges, you get the crazy just repeating blaster, and then you get the awesome missiles.
Yeah, like heat seeking missiles.
Yeah,
that
which I think
is
really
so cool.
Yeah. But then you get him landing on Geonosis, seeing the like Trade Federation ships and stuff like that, and basically uncovering this plot.
Yeah, Geonosis looks like Spaceball City when they get
there.
I love when they're going through the asteroid field and it's like maneuvering like left and right and up and down, and it's like crazy, like there's like no room to maneuver and they're like just barely getting by, and then they get into this one asteroid that is like a giant hole and they're protected from everything around it, and then
Boba Fett's
like, look out.
Yeah, the one time
the
they're safe
you've been.
Yeah, it is weird editing with that scene.
He's Django untrained.
Oh, untrained.
Nice.
We are out of our league.
And then, so Obi-Wan makes it to Geonosis, which is super cool looking, and begins spying on a bunch of separatists meeting.
Yeah,
so
he tries to find Jango.
Newt Gunray from the first one. Another Kato Nemoidian, who's, we don't know.
It's not Marin Hako. I'm not going to remember his name.
Yeah, I forget the new one. And then we see, like.
You get Wat Tambor in there.
Yeah.
You get a bunch. You get Pog the Lesser.
The Mun dude from the banking
one, like,
clan.
Steampunk
that's.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the cool.
Yeah, that's Wat Tambor.
Yeah.
You get Poggle the Lesser, though, who's like
the
only Geonosian that's like,
clicking and
let's give him a name. Everybody else is just a big fly.
Yeah, they're kind of like
a hive mind.
Like, yeah, they're usually not represented that intelligent, Geonosians.
Yeah.
Like, there's like the queen and stuff.
Mm, which, again, more in the Clone Wars, but they do some great stuff with
that. Rebels did a lot with that, too.
Yeah.
The Death Star is built in orbit around Geonosis with, Geonosians building it.
Because we'll get to it, but you actually see the Death Star towards the end of this, or like plans of the Death Star.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Interesting.
The Geonosians are so weird looking.
Yeah.
They're giant,
weird.
Like, they're giant flies with.
They
bugs.
Look like if, I'm going to get real nerd here. Scyther, the Pokemon, and, the Emoticons from Abe's Odyssey, and a piece of beef jerky went into the Brundle machine from the fly, and then came out. That's what
teleported into that.
I ought to stuff you in a fucking locker right now.
I was gonna say, you weren't kidding about that nerd
they're
rabbit.
So
over there.
Weird looking.
When we were watching this, I said that they looked like beef jerky.
Yeah,
we're
like, what's the beef jerky planet?
They're gross.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, we see Anakin and Padme. On
you get the whole funeral scene with his mom.
The funeral scene with his mom, and they're back on her ship, kind of figuring out what to do.
But there's also the question of why there are three headstones.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We figure that out.
We don't know who the other two people that are buried are.
One's really
Lars.
Small, though, so I'm thinking it's either like a child, which we're
like
sad, or like the dog.
Goldilocks and the three bears or something.
Yeah, we never see those headstones in the original trilogy.
The
I'm
pet
curious
womp rat or something.
Who else is buried on the Lars homestead?
I wish it like panned out and there were 100 headstones for all the sand people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of them.
Damn. But they, yeah, they go back to the ship because R2 comes out, says he's got a message from Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan basically can't reach Coruscant with his ship. And then he translates it to
Council.
Yeah, he, like, well, he's going to send it to Anakin because he's on Naboo. That's when he finds out he's on Tatooine. He's like, what in the blazes is he doing there? I just love how he uses the word blazes.
Because you love to blaze.
Of course.
Dang.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then you get the whole, they're back on. And that's when we find out that Padme's ship, everything is controlled by one button.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the one button the one button that lets the transmission through is the same button that shows how close Tatooine is to Geonosis.
Yeah, they use the same shot all the time.
Yeah.
They're just touching the same button.
But then this is where like the two stories finally intersect, where they go to Geonosis after them. You get the small scene with the council, or actually, this is actually where you get Jar Jar giving the Supreme the Chancellor like
the Delophelegates.
The Delophelegates.
Yeah. Yeah. When he...
Hello, what?
He says
he addresses the Senate as Delophelegates.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Awesome.
Deej lost it
as a mistake, like.
I think it's a conscious decision, like, to make him an idiot talking to everyone.
That is so fucking funny.
Yeah, to show how dumb he is. Which is not far off from George W. Bush at the time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, he gets the supreme power, says he's going to give it back. It's real Julius Caesar type stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I want to read the novelization of the prequels. I've heard they're all really great. The guy that wrote the novelization for episode 2 went to our college, Nemo.
Yeah, no.
He's a Fitchburg grad.
R.A. Salvatore.
Yeah.
He also killed Chewie in the novel.
Yeah, I forget the name. Is it Vector Prime? That book?
Yeah, the moon that falls on him.
Yeah. Old canon.
A moon falls on
Chewie
him?
Died Chewie from dies. A moon falling on him.
That's also how Scratchy dies.
Yeah, I love that one. Chewie and Scratchy. Yeah. Hey, I'm thinking. No, Chewie's dad is Itchy, right? Do they call him Itchy?
Maybe. Sure. It sounds right. I mean, his son's Lumpy. So.
Lumpy, Mala, and I feel like his dad, the one that watches like the Wookiee VR porn in the holiday special. You guys are in for a treat. I'm down to watch that with you guys.
I think it's Jerky.
Jerky.
I never thought I would watch that again.
Spanky.
But it seems like we're going to have to.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe a bonus episode this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all thinking that.
Be fun.
But yeah, then all the stories intersect. Mace Windu heads to Geonosis with whatever Jedi they have, and Yoda goes to check out the clones.
Yeah, so over their conference call, Obi-Wan gets, like, ambushed by droidicas,
mm-hmm.
and we see him held captive by Dooku, mm-hmm. with Dooku's whole plan of, like, if only Qui-Gon were here.
I love how it goes down that rabbit hole, too, where it's like, yeah, Qui-Gon was my apprentice, and then Yoda comes out later, is like, as you were my apprentice, it's like, just the whole fucking trail.
Yeah, everyone trained everyone. Yeah. Just like a chain.
I always thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do feel like we need... It'd be great to have canon stories about Dooku training Qui-Gon and Yoda training Dooku.
They got a one-shot. Cool. By the time this episode comes out, I believe it'll be out already, but they get the Age of Republic in like the story comics going on, and the next one-shot coming out is Dooku.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, Dooku's very... like. Underexplored, I feel like.
I agree, especially again, they do it in the Clone Wars, but especially where you get someone as amazing as Christopher Lee playing him.
Yeah.
I think he is very underutilized in the movies.
I find it interesting we've never had a female Sith dark side user.
You get Asajj Ventress a little bit.
Yeah, but not in the live action movies.
Oh, not in the live action, yeah.
It's weird we've never had a live action like female villain. Like there's Phasma, but never like a lightsaber wielding
villain.
Yeah, that
would be cool.
Be awesome.
And the possibilities for a female Sith.
So cool. Like,
yeah.
There's that one in Star Wars Legacy, that comic.
Yeah, the Twi'lek, right?
She's the Twi'lek with, like, the like Darth Maul-looking red and black, like, mm-hmm. tattoos.
Oh, she's on...
Yeah, it was really cool.
I imagine, like, a Catwoman type, but with, like, really cool makeup. Basically, yeah. Like, awesome. a combination of Darth Maul and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Well, there was Mara Jade, too, right? She was just this?
Yeah. Well, she was, like, the Emperor's assassin, like, the Emperor's hand, they called her.
Okay.
She was, like, in the old canon.
That's basically what Asajj Ventress was to Dooku in the Clone Wars.
Okay.
She's awesome. Yeah, we'll see her in the next,
she's
next
in the
episode.
Movie.
Yeah. She's awesome. I love Ventress.
Anybody else? I'm going to throw it off to someone else here.
Just to circle back for a second, because inquiring minds will want to know, Chewie's dad is itchy.
Oh, good.
She gets some ointment.
Yeah, his...
Let's quickly move. Go, keep going.
His full name is like
right now.
a teacher chuck or something like that, but he's called itchy.
Yeah, well, they're like, all like that. It's Lumpy, like Lumpy is Lumpo Aru.
Yeah, Lumpo Aru. Yeah.
Who is canon now?
Yeah, he's a real character. Yeah, Deej, you wanna?
I'll try. Oh, okay. Where did you leave off?
Dooku talking Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what's the next scene?
That's where I'm leaning to you.
I know. Cat, like,
let's go to Cat.
I need
Cat,
a little bit of a push.
Then I think it's the droid.
Droid factory.
Oh yeah. Okay. Somebody else should do this.
Cat.
So, Padme and Anakin are like walking through this tunnel. And this actually is a cool shot. They're like walking down this pathway, and it looks like there's cobblestone on the walls, but it's actually like Geonosians like hiding
on top of Geonosians.
Yeah, like coming out, and they start to attack them, and then they like fall through this door opening or whatever into the battle droid factory. And then shenanigans ensue. Yeah.
Basically because of 3PO. And this is where we'll talk about it more, but my God, it's not good.
Yeah.
It just feels like a video game level.
Yeah, it really does.
Like anytime you're on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
That's like
it's literally a video game
level. Yeah, it is. Right.
I liked it.
Yeah, honestly, it's great.
Anakin,
it's very silly.
Anakin gets literally stuck to the belt under his arm is under a giant metal sheet. Padme is in these like lava cup thing.
cauldrons.
3PO is also his head gets separated from his body, and his body and his head are on separate parts of the conveyor belt. So
hilarity ensues.
Yeah, a battle droid head.
My favorite is his head being put on the battle droid body, and he's like, "I'm so confused."
Yeah,
like,
and then the battle droid being like, "My legs aren't working. I need maintenance."
It's crazy. Dog.
Yeah.
And R2 starts like flying around everywhere.
I don't know.
Lucas humor.
Yeah.
And then later on in the battle, when 3PO's head is disconnected from the battle droid's body, and R2 goes to save, and he's like, "Oh, this is such a drag."
He's dragging 3PO's head back.
And then we were talking about earlier is in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he finally gets to his body and it's like, "I'm beside myself." It's brutal.
Oh, to confirm that we did watch the teaser trailer, though, that has no music in it, and it's just Vader breathing the whole time with quick shots.
That's cool.
And that teaser trailer is pretty awesome.
Oh, we didn't talk about when Padme and Anakin are back on Tatooine, and they're talking. You just see their shadows, and Anakin's shadow looks like Vader.
Yeah, very Vader-y.
It's that little bun in the back that does it.
Mm.
The little bun.
Yep. Gives us a triangular shape.
Oh. Which I think I said in the episode one, which is the coolest promo for episode one was the trailer, the poster of little Anakin walking away with Vader's shadow.
Yeah, it's cool.
So they make it through the droid factory.
Be captured by Jango Fett.
Captured by Jango, and then they're going to be, like, executed, basically, in that arena.
You get the whole I love you scene here, though.
Yeah, the love thing. Oh, something that I can't believe I haven't brought up yet is the love theme across the stars is incredible.
Yeah.
I love that piece of music. It's one of my favorite Star Wars songs.
John Williams does no wrong in these movies.
No, he doesn't. There's not like a John Williams song I hate, but in particular, I really think Across the Stars. It's like the Duel of the Fates of this movie, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a strong point.
I do question his decision to put the Sanford and Son theme song
over the kissing scene.
Yeah. Took me a little bit out of it.
So ridiculous.
If you could edit that, send it to us, please. sameoldhopepodcast@gmail.com.
The creature design of the monsters in the pit that were pretty awesome.
They're
like
fantastic.
Yeah, they're very cool.
I really like, they all look cool, but I think the design on the Nexu, the cat that goes after Padme, is really cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a Yeti a little bit, right?
Like a Yeti tarantula.
They get the different,
like all the
sharp teeth and stuff.
So from there, the Jedi show up, Mace Windu leading them. And this
party's
over.
Yeah.
Oh, we kind of skipped over the like where that creature swipes at Padme, like
rips off one one third of her clothes.
Yeah, it scrapes her back and somehow her entire right arm and midriff is pulled off.
It's like she was wearing those
type
of cargo pants.
About this
zip.
One time, because I was like, it annoys me how gratuitous it is that have to rip off her midriff or whatever, and she was like, calm down, like it's not that big of a deal.
You were so triggered by it.
I do. Okay.
What were you gonna say?
I would say I do like the banter in the scene between Obi-Wan and Anakin, when he's like, "We're here to rescue you. Great job."
Yeah. I love that Obi-Wan basically treats Anakin like a pain in the ass teenager.
He does get shit on quite a bit in this movie from everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
At what point is he like unnecessarily like, it's Obi-Wan's fault? Like,
that's after he kills the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah,
He's jealous. Yeah. He's holding me back.
Yeah.
Throwing stuff.
So that's why you killed those kids?
Yeah. He's just spiraling out of control at that point.
Yeah.
God, he sucked so much.
I just want the story of Anakin Skywalker to be more tragic than it is.
That's why I like the Clone Wars so much.
What do you think that made casting directors be like, this is it right here?
I think Lucas had final say on everything in the prequels.
Yeah, and he thought that Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman look good together.
Which I think Lucas is a genius and like the world's best idea man, but I think he needs to be kept in check by someone.
Yeah.
Gotta learn how to write some dialogue too.
Yeah.
Especially love dialogue. Which we'll get into more in episode 3, but I agree. I love Lucas. Yeah. He's absolutely amazing, but yeah.
He's
unbalanced in these.
Really, we glossed over the scene where they're on Naboo and Padme is telling Anakin why they can't be together, and it's such a very shallow speech. It's basically like, I'm a senator and you're a Padawan.
Yeah, I'm a senator.
We just can't be together.
We can keep it. And he's like, we can keep it a secret.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll be living a lie. But then they don't care.
Yeah, and then he kills a bunch of women and kids, and she's like, I love you.
I know.
Yeah. No, Anakin just walked around this entire movie with blue balls.
Yeah. That's why he's so whiny all the time.
Yeah.
Bluer than his lightsaber.
Maybe that's why he's walking around so fucking pissed off, is because he can't fucking, like, get his rocks off this entire movie.
Well... Yeah. So they fight those three monsters.
Nice segue.
Well,
thanks. Anyways, that seems cool. I like that that Padme is.
She's on top of it.
Yeah, Padme is on top of things in the scene. Yeah. I love the character. Anakin. Yeah. I love the character of Padme. She's awesome. Super cool. Very much in the tradition of Star Wars, like being a strong, badass female.
Yeah. Never wears the same thing twice.
Oh, yeah, every...
It's like you're watching an award show. It's an outfit change every time.
I like things instead of a hamper, she has an incinerator.
Every cutback, she's wearing something new.
I love her costumes, though.
Me too. Forever. In all three movies, they're great.
They were like, we're going to make you eye-catching in every scene.
I feel like I see a lot of the cosplay of her snow outfit from the... Gendry Tartakovsky or whatever.
The
old Clone Wars, the original Clone Wars cartoon. He has the fur hood. It's super, really cool. That's design. Cool. I love it.
I've seen the arena one quite a bit without the midriff.
I love that look. It kind of reminds me of Rey's look in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like that, it kind of looks almost like bandage, that kind of texture and material.
There's a lot of visual styling for her in this movie that, at least for me, made me think of Leia. The scene in the very beginning when she's asleep in the bed, she is wearing a white gown and she has R2 behind her and her hair is like parted, but it's kind of bunched at the sides.
I love that, the giant like buns.
Yeah, and like that, I was like, oh, she looks a lot like Leia here. They're invoking that. And then later on when they're on Naboo and she has this like really intricate headpiece that has like that has buns on the side.
Yeah, they're like I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
They're like
nets on the buns. Yeah,
yeah.
It's cool.
And
like the bun nets.
Yeah, the bun nets.
The bunettes, huh?
And then her
my favorite like doo-wop band from
yeah.
the 50s.
Yeah, the Bonettes.
And then that final outfit, when they go to Geonosis, like looks a lot like Leia's snow outfit. Like it's the same mm-hmm. white and
yeah,
like,
I love
the
that.
Pants and the
Natalie Portman
got, like, the
is
cape
gorgeous.
And, yeah. yeah.
Also, I don't know why I didn't put this out, but you were talking about when she was like sleeping in the bed. Mm-hmm. She's literally sleeping, like sitting up on her side. How elevated she is, so they can get the
yeah.
shot with the
I
creature.
Love,
I
find
love
that so
Padme
funny.
And Anakin at that like beautiful retreat on like the lake in Naboo,
Lake Como.
And it's like, no, we definitely can't do this. Like, no matter what, like, we can't have sex and, like, we can't be together. But she's, like, waking up and, like, getting all dolled up before she comes out in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, there's just this whole, they send her away, like, with the most beautiful outfits and, like,
yeah.
makeup.
Yeah. Well, what did you get? She's like, she's sitting there in bondage and leather while
yeah,
they're having
her
this,
bosom
how
is
they
literally
can't have sex.
Heaving. And yeah. she's like, we can't be together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really try to make them. Sexual tension in that
yeah.
scene.
It,
yeah.
it was almost too much for me. I felt like her, like jugs were right in my face. It was crazy. And like you're telling me, like this guy has a reason. He's like killing everything that he can.
Killing everything. He's just sexually frustrated.
Yeah. He's like, you're fucking kidding me. Yeah.
The goofy yell.
Yeah.
Yoda's screaming. Sounds like an X-Wing.
It does.
Like a TIE fighter?
Yeah.
Oh. Someone's screaming.
Yeah, when he's facing off with Dooku and he's like, ah!
My favorite part.
Yeah.
Dude, always screaming.
TIE fighter sounds so cool.
He's just an impressionist at heart. That's what he does
yeah.
on the
yeah.
weekends.
That's what I meant to say. TIE fighter. That like, wah! Scream.
So, let's get back to the fighting pit and finish the plot of this movie because
yeah,
I
yeah.
feel like we could talk about some other things once we get
yeah.
through it. We see like our three main characters fight their way through.
They all get out
creatures.
Pretty easy.
They get out pretty easy. Now they're fighting battle droids. And they get cornered again, and then Mace Windu shows up
he
and all the Jedi
that
are
party.
There.
With the clones.
Yeah, and then Yoda shows up with all the clones. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a series of like, oh, but now they're cornered.
You get
oh,
a
but
yeah,
the Jedi
like
are here.
First wave,
oh, but now they're cornered.
Wave.
Yeah.
But the clones are here.
I do yeah. like how you get a lot, though, in that. Like, once the Jedi show up, you start seeing, like, the lightsabers pop up all over the arena.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And then you do get.
Yeah, it's like a concert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they're singing this slow
like,
jam.
Six in the air.
Yeah. A rave.
But you get some, like, cool actual, like, fighting scenes. And then you get the big thing for me, at least, is the death of Jango Fett.
Yeah,
which really
great.
Sets off Boba, which is cool.
Yeah, seeing
that's a
that his.
Crazy.
It yeah. is like that creature runs over his jetpack and you see it like sparking and
yeah,
failing.
It's malfunctioned, yeah.
And then seeing that he's trying to use it to get away and it doesn't work and gets
yeah.
his head cut off.
I do
it's
like
really
how
cool.
he like stands his ground though, just like that one blaster. He's like, he kills the other Jedi too, like goes after Dooku. He's like,
yeah, right
boom,
away
boom,
that dude
boom.
Falls off the
yeah.
ledge, whatever.
But I do like how they show like the shadow with his helmet go. And then you see like Boba just look so distraught. And then later on, he picked up the helmet after everybody's left. Like,
yeah.
That.
Touching his like forehead to the helmet,
yeah,
is
very
super
cool.
sad.
Yeah,
I think it was Star Wars Minute that pointed out recently how like some of the Jedi like alien designs are so cool, but like 1/3 of the Jedi are just like dudes with ponytails.
That's
yeah.
all it is, yeah.
which is so true. They're just like hiring like random yeah. Star Wars fans.
You do get the we talked about earlier, like the Kit Fisto moment when he takes off 3PO's head.
Yeah, he pushes him back.
Yeah, and the big smile.
And looks at the camera and smiles.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome, though. Love them.
Love them.
Love them. And we get Ayla Secura, who I think.
You get a
was,
bunt, yeah.
I think she's originally from the comics, and Lucas liked her design and was mm-hmm. like, yeah, throw her in.
He does that
is
a
she
hand,
the one
handful
like,
of times.
Ah!
No. She's,
who's that?
Actually, it's her.
She's the blue Twi'lek.
Yeah.
Her yeah, she's pretty sweet looking.
Plo
she's cool.
Koon, and I think. Ki-Adi Mundi, I think.
Ki-Adi Mundi?
Yeah.
Or Cone-Heady Mundi, as we
Cone-Heady
were saying.
Cone-Heady Mundi, yeah. They, like, after they get, like, the Jedi surrounded, they, like, put those three in, like, they're already disarmed and, like, just push back in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's one of them.
So they fight their way out of that, out of, like, the pit or, mm-hmm. like, the arena. And
yeah, because Yoda shows up with the awesome gunships.
Yep, and they chase Dooku across, like, the desert Geonosis, fighting all those ships.
Mm-hmm. I do like the one line, though, after it's, like, Mace Windu. Yoda, I think Kit Fisto, and a few other Jedi are in the dropship, and you see the one next to them explode, and immediately Mace Windu's like, put us down right now. Thank
I
you.
Think you're making Kit Fisto's role bigger than it is.
No, it's like him, there's like 4 or 5 Jedi in there.
He's still in there?
Yeah. I mean, I do like him, but he pops up a lot.
He's great.
Yeah.
Cool design.
But Mace Windu, that seems like, put us on the ground now.
And they follow Dooku into, what do they call that? Like, what's that last place where it ends? Like,
it's like a hangar,
control,
I think.
Something?
Yeah,
like a hangar. Where Obi-Wan and Anakin fight him first.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin loses an arm.
I forgot that.
Oh, my
happened.
God.
Yeah, well, he gets, cool. like, he gets pushed again. He gets, like, not, he's, like.
That cause... fucking shot is so ridiculous.
When he gets pushed next to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he
there's,
gets
like,
his
a pile
arm
of Jedi.
And then, like, gets kicked back and then, like, slides, like, 20 feet onto Obi-Wan's legs. Just, like, falls asleep.
And he does. It's, like, using it as a pillow.
For me, it's this movie's, like, goofy moment. Like, Phantom Menace was Anakin saying bye to C-3PO, and for this one, it's definitely like Anakin getting his arm cut off and like getting thrown onto Obi-Wan. It's so ridiculous.
Not to jump all over the place, but when you say this movie's goofy moment, I pictured when he uses the Force to cut that pear.
Oh yeah.
And puts it on Padme's fork, and it like the CG pear like disappears before she takes a bite of it.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Oh, when you were like, silly. She is delighted.
So happy with his like little floating trick.
Yeah.
So then Yoda shows up, fights Dooku.
Which is awesome.
And it's a really cool.
Walks in with the cane, backflips, picks the cane back up.
Yeah. If he ever had like a private investigator on him about like like his
sure.
disability,
his work
he'd be fucked.
That's very true. One of our friends does that too.
Yeah.
There's
he,
that like really quick
people,
part.
Throw that. He's not doing the system. He's
yeah. He
he's
walks around with the
Jedi.
Cane. He walks around with the cane all day and just collects insurance.
Yeah.
There's that one like second of that fight where Anakin has a blue and a green lightsaber.
Yeah, the
hands,
dual wield. It's the first time,
which
see
I feel
it.
Like was used in the trailer of that movie.
I think it was.
I feel like that was the whole thing. Was like Darth Maul is a double sided one. They're like, yeah, well this time someone uses two.
Yeah.
And then they were like, what do we do? And then Lucas came up with Grievous, who's like, this guy has four
18,
ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an 18 wheeler.
18 lightsabers. He's made of lightsabers.
Next thing, episode 9, I'm pretty sure the lightsabers gonna start talking. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get that. It is a very cool scene where it is Yoda, because it's the first time you actually see him fight, and yeah, you do get the TIE fighter screaming there a bunch.
Yeah,
but it's
he's screaming.
Yeah, it's a very like interesting
Rey Romano.
Damn wrong.
Everybody loves Yoda. So.
Everybody loves Yoda. Everyone does love Yoda.
Yeah. Dooku's lightsaber is pretty sweet.
Yeah,
it's cool. The curved hilt.
Curved hilt.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I also love the running bit with Anakin trashing his lightsaber or losing his lightsaber.
And Obi-Wan's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, when it gets sliced in half, I was like, Obi-Wan's going to be pissed. And he's like, Obi-Wan's going to kill me.
It was immediately after,
Yeah.
That was really weird, too, because the whole movie, he's... like a totally serious, like borderline sociopath, like Jeffrey Dahmer style fucking weirdo. And then for some reason, the writers gave him this one scene where he's like comedic relief and it's just like so out of place.
Yeah. I think the comedy could have been.
You don't think so?
No. I'm agreeing.
That didn't sound like an agreement.
I wish he was.
And no.
A lot of the characters aren't organically funny. Like I feel like they rely on like 3PO to deliver jokes that are very forced.
Yeah.
And this one specifically.
Yeah.
Like I love like original trilogy 3PO.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of 3PO.
Like
he's pretty rough in these movies.
I think I don't know if I said it before. One of my all-time favorite uses of any kind of like comedic style is where there's two characters, one you can't understand, they do with 3PO and RQ all the time, and then the other one like kind of like responds to it. Like, no, I don't think he likes you very much at all. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah,
they do it
with Chewie all the time, too.
Yeah. And they really don't do that.
Yeah, I think Star Wars is the only format that you find this on.
It's like a common, like, duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Jane's club, too.
Yeah.
Like, his facial expressions.
You find it in a few, but I absolutely love that idea.
So, we see the lightsaber fight. Dooku gets away by, like, trying to drop something on Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Although... Obi-Wan's very much awake and just sitting there like,
could have done
oh,
it.
Oh, shit. All right. Could have rolled
just
out
watching
away.
Yoda save them.
He's like
Anakin
laying down.
Sleeping on him.
Yeah, laying down on his own arm and then like kind of opens one eye to peek around to see what's going on and sees that the fight's still like happening, so he closes it until it's over.
It's like when you're sitting down and your cat's on your lap.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like,
I can't get up right
now.
Yeah,
he's like sleeping on my foot, and Melinda's like, can you use something? I'm like, no, I can't.
Sorry, Yode.
That was that. He's like, I can't use the force on this.
I don't want to wake him.
Yeah. Sudoku gets away, and we see the cool solar sailor.
Sudoku
gets away. Count Sudoku. So Dooku gets away.
So Dooku.
That's So Dooku. We see his cool solar sailor, and he goes back to Geonosis, to that weird like empty warehouse.
Coruscant. Goes building. Back to Coruscant.
Oh, Coruscant. I don't know. My brain stopped working.
It's late. It's late.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the movie. That's
I quit.
I'm sorry.
No, we see like the Obi-Wan talking about, like, it wouldn't have been a victory if it weren't for the clones. And Yoda's kind of like, it's not a victory. Begun the Clone Wars to have. Also, I just named the Clone Wars. And that's going to stick. And that's going to stick.
I do like how he calls it the Clone War, though.
Yeah, the Clone War.
Yeah.
He's like, hopefully it's just one.
And then, for no reason at all, Anakin and Padme get married.
Yeah, secret, secret wedding.
It's been 3 days. He's an absolute nightmare of a human. And she's like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you in secret.
But she doesn't even, like, really, I mean, they kiss, like, once or twice. But there's no, like, I'm falling in love with this guy. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, they're getting married.
Right. He, like, doesn't do anything to win her over, really. Yeah.
I do kind of like how the best man and man of honor, or the maid of honor, are 3PO and R2.
Yeah. Or,
it's kind of there.
Or they just happen to be there, yeah.
Yeah.
They're witnesses.
Again, I don't know if it's the novelization that has this, but there's a whole, the person that, like, marries them, they have this whole, like, elaborate story with, like, fake names that are based on, like, a Naboo version of, like, Romeo and Juliet type thing, where they, like, each have a fake name that they, like, register under for this, like, I don't know, because I don't think, because it's secret that Anakin Skywalker and Padme are married, so it's like a weird.
It's Anakin Montague and Padme.
Shmanakin.
Shmanakin and Shmadme.
Oh, what was the joke you made earlier with Shmi? Oh, Shmi oh my.
Oh, when he finds her in the. Yeah.
Oh, Shmi oh my.
That's popped in my head.
That's the one thing that these movies are missing, is people looking dead into the camera and hitting us with a one-liner.
I mean, we do get Jar Jar looking us straight in the eye, and then Kit Fisto. They both look at us and smile at one point.
Yeah.
So
it's true. But yeah, that's the movie.
Yeah, it does sound like we trash this movie a lot, but I love this movie. Yeah,
I love the last shot, because it's supposed to be, you know, triumphant that you're seeing all the clones and the Star Destroyers and all that, but you know, because of how reminiscent it is of the Empire and the originals, that it's like not the triumph it looked like for the Jedi.
They do use the Imperial March pretty well in this.
Yeah, it's nice a few times.
I think I said this when we were watching it, but I find it so funny now that when I was a kid watching this movie, that scene where like the Chancellor and like all the senators are watching the clones go onto the ships, I remember seeing Bail Organa, who I didn't know the name at the time, played by Jimmy Schmidt. And I was like, I feel like that guy's going to be bad. He just looks like a bad guy. And he's like the only good one.
Jimmy Smits, right?
Yeah. Smits. Oh, yeah.
The unbreakable Schmidt. Jimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, the unbreakable. About Schmidt.
Yeah. My bad.
This one does kind of have a lot of moments that are reminiscent of Empire.
A lot of Robitussin.
Yeah.
Here.
Like when we were watching it, we talked about the lightsaber battle between Anakin and Dooku feeling very much like the Luke and Vader, especially with the blue lightsaber and the red lightsaber
in
the dark and losing his arm. And there's also when Han's trying to get away from like the Empire through the asteroid field and like, Obi-Wan trying to get away through the asteroid field as well. Yeah.
It's visual poetry.
Yeah.
It rhymes.
I spent one night like spending hours reading about the ring theory, and I do think there like is some
validation
to
it.
Yeah. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, it makes sense to the theory.
I love it, and I mean, we're gonna talk about all this at some point, but people complained about like Force Awakens being close to New Hope,
And I think
it's an homage, people.
Well, it hits familiar beats and then swerves at, I don't know, it subverts your expectations when it should.
Yeah.
I love that about Star Wars, that it like establishes its own tropes, kind of, and I don't know, hit those points. Familiar beats.
Very cool. I agree.
What else do we want to talk about? I feel like we talked a lot about the Clone Wars TV show today, and it's making me really excited to watch the movie next month.
As much as that single movie is not my favorite, yeah, I can't wait to talk about it more.
We do an episode 3 next month?
No, the Clone Wars movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Episode 3 would be February.
What's our path here again?
So next month, so March will be the Clone Wars animated movie.
Okay.
And then April will be Revenge of the Sith.
Is this all chronological?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, chronological in the universe.
In universe, yeah. Right. So May will be Solo. June will be Rogue One. July will be New Hope. August, Empire. September, Return of the Jedi. October, Force Awakens. And November, Last Jedi. Yeah. Which I'm surprised we still don't have a title for episode 9. I thought we would know it by now.
Same.
I think we're going to wait. Celebration, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording this on February 9th. We still don't know.
Is it really February 9th already? Holy shit.
I assumed we'd get the title before Celebration on the trailer then, but
I
can't, either way.
I talked to you about this.
Well, there's that leaked title that's floating around right now.
Was it the... I'm just going to say, if you don't want to know, turn
the
off for a second.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a fake. Someone said that was... someone like made that up in a message board on theforce.net.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which...
I've talked to you about this, Jared, but I think it'd be so fucking cool if they wait until Celebration for everything. They show the trailer, like, without even saying the title, and at the very end of the trailer, it's like, Star Wars, Episode 9, and then whatever the subtitle is, and people will be like, fuck yeah, awesome! Hopefully being a cool title. Yeah.
I loved that. We watched a clip earlier of Ewan McGregor on a red carpet for Moulin Rouge finding out what the name of
episode I wanted to talk about that. Yeah, I love that. It's so good. One of my favorite videos and laughing so hard with Nicole Kidman about it.
It's a silent laugh. He gets into it so much.
He's like, that's it.
I love Ewan McGregor. I was saying I want a 3-hour documentary about Ewan McGregor making the prequels, just focusing on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like just a delight to watch and love behind the scenes stuff.
Also, he's like the coolest guy.
We referenced Big Fish in our last episode, and since then, Albert Finney has passed away.
Yeah.
He passed away today.
Yeah, I think I read that yesterday. Maybe. Yeah, that was tough. Rest in peace, Albert Finney.
R.I.P.
Real bummer. But yeah, I as far as like jumping on back on like the whole, we thought we'd have the title. I think it's going to be for Celebration, which. Half of us will be at Celebration. If you're going to go, let us know.
If we didn't see it at Super Bowl, then...
Yeah.
I do think we have a few opportunities still for the title reveal before the trailer.
When is Celebration?
April. Middle of April.
Do you think there's any chance they'll push back?
No.
No, I think we'll get it in December still.
Yeah.
I think...
Because originally it was going to be this May.
Yeah, they pushed it back.
And then JJ signed on and like, nope, we're going to make it December. Which I love.
They are estimated to like complete filming... they're going to be done shooting it in like within 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah,
so
by
some people have said,
I
like,
think.
I know episode 8 had, they didn't announce the title then, but they had like a little video saying, like, we finished filming. Or no, maybe that was the start of filming for episode 8. But some people have said it might be the end of filming when they announced the title. It's possible they would do something before Captain Marvel, like some reveal.
I don't think they would.
I doubt there'll be a trailer before Celebration at this point. But I don't know. Either way, it'll be cool to find out.
I'm excited.
I think episode 3 had the only, like, interesting title reveal.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, they had, wasn't it like a Comic-Con video that went through episode, like,
oh,
4,
yeah, they
5,
kinda,
6,
kinda did with, like,
1,
what Marvel
2,
does
and then
now.
Revealed 3, like, all in a video. To
sounds
people,
right.
Like, for an audience. Like, really, we'll have to find that after we finish episode.
That's why I'm thinking, I'm hoping they do it for this, where, like, they show the trailer, then it just pops up at the end, and everybody can, like, lose their minds over it.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Okay, so on Twitter, we put out a message saying that if you wanted to send in your own personal rankings or your review of the current movie that we're watching and talking about this month, to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And Twitter handle at Rural Farm Boy sent in a review entitled The Journey to Episode 9, which he said a lot of really nice things about the show and said he couldn't do a personal ranking, so that would be like picking which one of his daughters is his favorite, which I think we can all certainly relate to. My personal ranking is always changing.
It's so difficult.
And I love these movies.
Yeah, I mean, mine just changed after watching the first two.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, even my least favorite of the live-action movies, I love. And my least favorite Star Wars movie is still
one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely get where he's coming from.
He also said to listen out for him shouting along when we can't think of a character's name, like Jira from The Phantom Menace, who's the old lady, just the one that says, storm's coming in, you better get home.
I feel it in my bones.
But I love that character, and I love the name Jira, so thank you, Roll Farm Boy, for the review and the message. I'm glad I know that now. And he's one of the one of our listeners who's been sending us a lot of positive vibes on Twitter. Yeah. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank
dude.
Yeah, and if you guys want to send it, I mean, you get us on like the Apple Podcast, but you can also send it to us on Facebook, Twitter, any of
those.
Yeah,
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We always love to hear from you.
Well,
anytime you
want
to talk Star Wars, that's what we love to do. So reach out.
Yeah, we do have a ranking from our good friend Andrew.
Yeah, friend of the show, Andrew.
Yeah. So he ranked his as number 11 being the Clone Wars movie. Number 10 is Attack of the Clones, then Phantom Menace, and then Return of the Jedi, followed by Revenge of the Sith, and then Solo, and then Rogue One, followed by Last Jedi at number 4, and then his top 3 were A New Hope, Force Awakens at number 2, and then Empire was number 1.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Very rare to see something break New Hope or Empire.
Yeah, he put Force Awakens at 2.
I'm going to have to discuss his list with him next time.
I got
to
tell you,
cool.
His is pretty close to what mine was. His Force Awakens was one spot higher than mine.
Well, you ranked Solo higher than Last Jedi, which I'm still
it was right there.
Dying.
We're going to talk about it more, but I'm going to be honest with you. It all depends on what Episode 9 does, on where my final ranking for 8 lands, if I'm being honest.
I love Last Jedi. I can't wait
to do too. I don't. Everybody like shits on it. I absolutely love it. It's just, we'll talk about it. Solo
yeah,
comes
we'll
up and
it
like,
for when
yeah.
We get there.
Yeah, we'll get to all those. Looking forward to it all.
Do we have any general grievances left
yes.
to
yeah, thank you.
Discuss?
Yeah, general grievances with this movie. I mean, I do feel like we maybe shit on this movie a lot, and I want to be really clear how much I love it. Like,
it's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot to love.
I'll say my biggest general grievance is, I guess it's going to be this for like this in episode 3 kind of. It's like it is the love dialogue, if you will. Like all those scenes.
Sure.
It's just like, okay, like, what is this?
I agree. That, the droid factory, and it's very CG heavy.
Yeah. And I do love the whole, I love Anakin and Padme together. Like, it's great, but they just don't do a super great job, especially in the live action movies, of being like, hey, this is like a romance for the ages. It doesn't show that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of chemistry between them. There absolutely should be. And I don't know how, like, you can't have a chemistry with Natalie Portman. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, she's such a good actress.
Although I feel like I wouldn't. I would just be like, what?
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. I think that she's such a good actress that you couldn't help but, like, feel, like, genuine, like, love
the
for
real
her,
love
you know?
For her right
yeah,
away.
Like, but my biggest grievance with this movie is Hayden Christensen. Like,
hating him?
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen?
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
The name of, like, a documentary.
Yeah. it was in my head before I rewatched it, and I think I realized that I've never seen this movie the whole way through. But
yeah, this is your first time watching it,
yeah.
Right?
But I remember hating it because of how CG heavy it was, and I felt like it was just like the whole movie was in front of a green screen.
It does really feel that way.
And my biggest gripe with it is 100% Hayden Christensen. The guy fucking sucks.
See, I would be there with you. I actually really like him, but I think a lot of it is George Lucas being that kind of director.
I think you're
like,
just saying that on the off chance that he ever hears this.
No,
Hayden, I love you.
I
am kind of with Chimo on this one. Like, I don't hate Hayden Christensen. I do think a lot of it is dialogue and Lucas as an actor-director. Like, I don't think...
Did he direct the...
Yeah.
All three?
Yeah.
Of the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
So
Hayden Christensen's delivery of a lot of the line.
It is
not
really bad.
Solely on him. Like, if your director is telling you to do something, like,
yeah,
you kind of got
to
do it.
But even, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, even in his other movies, like, it's the same thing. Like, he was in Factory Girl, and I remember him being like a fucking.
He played Bob Dylan on that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or a character based on Bob Dylan,
something
maybe?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, that,
but
that.
He's just like so monotone and like emotionless that this guy is a fucking robot.
Yeah.
I almost don't know if it is him or if it is the material. Like, we'll never know, obviously, if it would be this way if anyone else was cast as Anakin, but I honestly don't know if it is him or if it's just the material and the direction he was given.
That's why I want so badly to see Hayden Christensen in episode 9.
Yeah.
Either with a Force Ghost scene with Luke or with Kylo.
Yeah.
And just see him, like, I feel like it would be such a great redemption to see him give a great performance for JJ in episode 9. It would be like, I don't know. I feel like that would be so satisfying.
Because even though Natalie Portman is great in this movie and she has the same material, just the character of Anakin is very uneven in this movie. So
yeah, he's going to deliver a lot more of those lines where you're like, ooh, okay.
I feel like it would have been a tough performance for anybody, really.
Yeah, I think so, too.
This is such a nitpicky grievance, but I cannot stand, and this is true in episode 3 as well, that R2-D2 has jetpack. Like,
yeah, I've heard people talk about how that kind of like broke a lot of Star Wars stuff. Like, he could have gotten out of any situation. And
stairs. Even the stairs in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, use that fucking jetpack.
Oh, yeah. We watch him like painstakingly walk upstairs. And then later he's just hovering around.
Yeah. I do find it funny, though, that someone, I remember seeing when this movie, around when it came out or whatever, someone talked about George Lucas. They're like, so has he just had those the whole time? He's like, well, you know, a lot changes in 20 years. And I was like, is that still a reason to give them?
So they're just gone. Someone was talking about how because they had him do that, like it seemed like in like Star Wars Rebels, like Chopper, they were like getting out of everything by like someone just like sits on the droid and like floats away. And it's like, okay, that's, I guess, just an easy escape.
Like, I will say they do use it better in episode 3, I think, than they do in this one.
For me, it's not how they use it. It's the fact that it exists. It's like, what? Like, what do you mean he has the jetpack?
I know. It is insane. It is insane.
For me, it's just the CGI again. It's really uneven. Like, Yoda, I thought, looked great. The battle droids look great again. Even the Geonosians look pretty good.
Oh, those are practical.
The Geonosians?
No.
And like the creatures in the pit looked really cool. But then like the pear looks stupid. Jar Jar looks really weird. Like he's like floating. He doesn't walk. He like floats around.
It's because he's got a reverse moonwalk the way he walked.
Yeah, there is something else.
A regular walk?
Yeah.
That I noted. It's like with the arms like slanting.
Cat has got a whole bunch of notes.
I do. Watto also looks bad still.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just...
I mean, he just needs a shower.
It's really uneven. So I think if you're going to keep perfecting the look of your movie, either do it all or nothing. Like, it's jarring when the CGI is bad.
I agree. This movie is the biggest offender for that, for me.
This was the first one shot on digital. It wasn't shot on film anymore.
Yeah, Phantom Menace is the only prequel that's shot on film.
Yeah, which sucks because these movies will never look better than they do now.
Yeah.
Which is not going to be... The quality is not great now, but like, I think like 20, 30 years from now, it's going to be like, what is this?
I am really looking forward to revisiting the Clone Wars movie. It's not a great movie. I remember being pretty disappointed when I saw it in theaters in 2008, but since growing to love the Clone Wars animated series, I do enjoy going back to the movie now. So
it fits in great with the overall story as a standalone movie. Not so.
Yeah, it's hard to like Ahsoka personally in her first appearance. Like, until like you get to know her. Like now that I know her well, it's fun to go back, but it's pretty rough at the beginning. So we're gonna have to do like.
I haven't seen it since theater, so I'm looking forward to going back to it.
It's pretty short. It's like an hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah, it's very. It's literally just three episodes of a show put together.
It's a nice change of pace.
It is nice. I was gonna propose though, maybe the night that we watch that.
Yes.
Doing that and like two or three select favorite episodes of Clone Wars afterwards.
That'd actually be awesome.
Just to kind of.
Cool.
I think
that.
It might drive it home a little bit better.
It becomes more just trilogy.
What they were doing. Yeah, those are great. Okay, so next month, join us for Star Wars: The Clone Wars. Please watch it if you want to continue to follow along
homework.
With theatrical releases. Yeah, do your homework.
You will
be
graded.
We'll be checking. And then, like we said, we'll be back in March with Clone Wars and April with Revenge of the Sith, which I'm really excited for all these.
Yeah, I'm excited to rewatch Revenge of the Sith.
Me too.
I remember loving the trailer and liking the movie. I'm curious to see how I'm going to
I think a really solid third act.
Yeah, I'm psyched about that.
Completely agree.
So we're sitting in this basement right now, and I have some posters over there from the IMAX posters for Rogue One and Solo. And I'm just thinking, like, we're so lucky with these Star Wars releases. Yeah. Such cool movies, and, like, we're getting them one a year right now.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's an exciting time.
In the age of content, and it's not even just limited to Star Wars.
Yeah, we're in the age of content. Help. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
It's too much.
It is. But we're lucky as Star Wars fans. Something that we didn't do in the last couple episodes. Do you guys want to plug anything? I feel like we should be plugging stuff as we kind of sign off here.
Sure.
Do you guys want to go around? Want to go counterclockwise? You want to start, Deej?
Yeah, sure. I'm on a podcast called Top 5 of Death that I'm on when I'm not at school. It's my podcast origins that I love doing when I get to do it, and I miss doing when I'm not doing it. But I think that's as far as plugs go, that all I got.
Cool.
Jen?
Yeah, I am on Conquest with Kat over here.
Hey.
Hey, yeah. We are on the Wasted Minds Network, same as same old Hope here. We go to a bunch of different conventions and talk about some awesome movies and shows and some great fun stuff. This month, I don't know if the episode's going to be out after this one airs. It's all about love and dating, so it's gonna be very interesting with some speed dating convention in there.
Love and dating.
Yeah. Also throw out that I think I mentioned it before, but myself, Tim, and Kat will actually all be at Celebration this year. So if you're going, let us know.
Cool. I really wish I was going, especially like since doing the show and connecting with some people on Twitter. I don't know. I really miss that atmosphere. It's cool.
I'll just FaceTime you, and then you get the streaming going.
Yeah, it'll be the same thing.
Trying to help.
I got to say, so 2 years ago at Celebration, I did. It lines up with my April vacation again from school.
That's why I'm going.
And yeah. I sit home and just, I basically will like sleep in and just read and like go to the gym and make coffee and sit around and live stream it on YouTube, and it's a lot more comfortable than the convention. But
yeah,
I do miss meeting people there, which is the best part of
Celebration. This will be my third one, and each one has been completely different, and I'm very excited to see what this one's going to be like.
I do love Chicago. It's cool. Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pumped.
Kat, what do you have to plug?
So, like Chin mentioned, we have Conquest. Tim and I also have a podcast that's debuting this month as well called Double Date, where we interview couples about dating and date movies. Look out for that.
We've heard early access to episode 0, and it's awesome.
The theme song's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
I will just plug the Wasted Minds website, wasted-minds.com. You can check out, there are links to all of our podcasts there. Plus, you can buy Drinking Buddies, Drinking Man, Thinking Game.
Super
in
fun.
Our store.
Cool. I think that does it for Same Old Hope this week.
Sure does.
Yeah. So we will see you, or this week, this month, I guess. So we'll see you next month with the Clone Wars animated movie. So please join us in celebrating Star Wars this year leading up to episode 9. I gotta say, it's been really fun, like already 2 months in. I don't know. It's exciting. Like,
yeah.
I do feel like we are celebrating Star Wars this year.
Yeah.
We're cool. Only 2 months in. I'm already like, no, it's already going to end. Oh,
I know.
I don't want it
to. And I keep looking forward to what we're doing next month and being really excited. So I hope you join us on this.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know all of you guys for the last month or so.
Yeah.
The fact that
like
we were
really
all,
come together.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fact
Definitely.
That we are all strangers last month is mind boggling.
I know.
I can't
I
believe
know.
We found each other on Craigslist.
Worked out perfectly. All right, stay tuned next month for the Clone Wars animated movie. Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.
Bye.